Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/thescope. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that can get that spot out of the carpet. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope.
The Scope greets 2013 with temerity and testiness. We catch up on what happened during the break, and Jared tries to imagine what Adam and Shane would look like as Minecraft characters.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey everybody, this is The Scope.
Wow, such vim, such
no,
vigor.
No, my levels were off. Oh. Off. There we go.
What?
Play me in. Oh. It's a whole new audio spectrum for 2013.
I forgot to switch tabs.
The answer, by the way, is Adam and I would look like very handsome Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
We were Minecraft.
I go with that.
Very handsome.
Can I do that in a 64 pixel palette? Because that's how much I have to work with.
You could do anything you want to do.
All right.
So we're back. It's 2013. Jared and Adam are in the house. We are up against Mother Nature. We're recording this on a Sunday afternoon, which is unusual for us. This is a little later in the weekend. But guess what? Newsflash. Freezing rain. Freezing drizzle. Snowstorm. It's all coming towards us, and we are against the clock.
Snowstorm?
Okay.
It's not even going to get that cold.
1 to 4 inches of snow. That's what they say, Jared.
Who's they?
The weather people.
I'm checking what Paul Douglas has to say
right now.
It's supposed
to be like 35 tomorrow.
Tonight.
Whatever. 1 to 4 inches, it's all going to be gone. Don't even worry about it.
Don't even worry, he says, people.
Paul Douglas, the weather terrorist.
Then 1 to 2 inches of slushy snow. Monday thaw. Late week cold blast.
There we go. Your weather report.
N-O-A-A.
On the nines.
Can I just say, I'm very, very tired of the roller coaster. We get 20s and 30s for several days, and then we deep freeze for single digits for several days, and then we go back up again.
This is the way the Earth is, Jared.
I'm tired of it.
We did this.
Find a middle ground. Either go cold or go warm.
Yeah,
go
Earth.
Cold or go home, Earth.
I'm tired of having to adjust.
Well, it's all about you, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
So we're back. We haven't had a proper show since 2012. We've had a couple of movie reviews, I think, so probably a lot to catch up on. For me,
if you haven't checked out the Jack Reacher review, it's definitely appointment television.
The Jack Reacher round review.
Appointment podcast.
That movie's still blowing up the box office, isn't it?
I think it blew out of town after a week.
Yeah, I think we might have been the only people to see it, and we saw it for free.
Not good, huh?
That's the best way to see movies, honestly.
Yeah,
and you don't have a value judgment based in part of your review. It is. I think it's definitely the best way to do it.
I think so.
You can see it for free, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we've had a lot of crazy events happen. The three of us saw a sneak preview movie together, Zero Dark Thirty. That
All
was
right.
good.
Barely together.
Barely.
We were in the same room, but that was about it.
Adam had to sit next to some weird fat sloth character that he might have been regurgitating chili cheese dip on the back of his head. We don't know.
Yeah. Still there. Like forming its own.
We could watch you, and you looked uncomfortable.
Yep.
What else has happened? I have fully embraced the digital comics realm, so that's a huge news for me.
I did it first.
You did do it first. I told Adam about my trick about buying digital codes on eBay. I've made some good purchases there, saved a lot of money.
How much they usually cost there?
Anywhere between 99 cents and close to $2, but considering. Though any new Marvel book digitally is $4.
Yeah. And how have you allocated the funds that you've saved?
What do you mean?
Well, you know what you were paying, and now you're paying less. The
do you
difference,
have a jar that
the
this is
savings.
Going in?
I've got a digital comics jar.
What are you doing with it?
Nothing so far.
You don't account for
it. I haven't bought a lot. I've only bought like six of them.
This is one of those tips that those financial planners will give you. On how to become wealthy or how to save money is if you save money on something, you have to take that difference and you have to like save it or put it into something.
But it's not like I'm mailing payments, you know. It's all right. In the digital world.
Have you considered only doing Western Union payments for all of these?
Oh, I think people would love that.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna go beyond PayPal. Right. I'm going to go back to the old school. I'm going to write a check with a QUE
for my digital, my 25 character digital code that you're going to email me. I'm going to mail you physically.
I am going to parcel post. I'm going to get an 8.5 by 11. I'm going to tape pennies to that. Oh. And I'm going to fold it up. Wow. And the shipping is going to cost me $5.
It's
going
to cost you more than you pay. Yeah, absolutely. But that, you know what? That's the price you pay for keeping the USPS going.
Somebody has to. You know, I'm keeping up with two antiquated systems: the Postal Service and pennies.
Excellent.
That's going to be my goal for digital comics. I'm going to keep those two things alive.
Well, you live it up while you can, because pennies are going away.
Oh, are they?
That's the word.
That's not the word on the street?
Yeah.
Give it to me straight, Jared.
Thanks, Obama. The bird is the word, guys.
Well, it's true. The bird is always the word. That's like a default word. But there's also ancillary words that come up. Shane, yeah. I'm gonna maybe start copying your eBay tactic.
You better not be going after the same comics that I go after.
I'll just point out, you know that there's at least four crossovers. But I will just reiterate to others out there, and I've mentioned this to you, that you can buy iTunes cards when they are on sale.
Yeah, that's a great tip.
You get about a 20% discount on them then, too.
Well, one of the things I did with my digital comic scheme is after my first purchase, I bought...
Is that the name of your digital comic?
Yeah.
The scheme?
Scheme.
Schemecomic.com?
I contacted the seller, and I said, hey, if you are going to continue to buy these comics, I will buy them from you, you know, not in an eBay world. And just, you know, let me know what you're going to get, and we can decide on a price. And he got back to me and said, okay, $1.50 an issue. These are the books I'm going to read. I might be reading these. I will send you a list at the end of the month, and you can go for it.
So is this because Marvel includes a digital copy with all their print ones?
Exactly.
So he's buying the print and then just reselling them. Okay, that's cool.
And a lot of people do that just because comics are so ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, you can recoup $1 to $2 per book. And then if you're buying them at a discount to start with, you know, it may only cost you $1, $1.25 to buy the book at the end of the day. So
nice.
That's
works out for everyone.
Yep, works out. It's a good deal. What else for me? I just finished what might be the video game of the year, Far Cry 3.
All right, I just started it last night.
I think that game is so awesome.
It's your 2013-2012 of game of the year?
Yes, I liked it better than Walking Dead.
When are you guys going to embrace the 2012-2013 pronunciation? I think that's the way we need to go.
You're right, it is the correct way.
2012. No. We didn't say 1914.
20 is the correct way of doing it, though, according to some linguistics. Yeah. 2012, 2013.
I want you to embrace it. I accepted
so
it during...
So 2013? Is that what I have
2013.
To say?
No, 20.
You say them as two different numbers. Like, what year were you born?
1974.
There you go. Say them as two different
1974,
numbers.
1974, Jared.
That's what I'm saying.
I might have to embrace that just to embrace you.
Oh.
He's helping me embrace him.
I would accept 1974.
The problem,
just because I think it's kind of antiquated and
okay,
cool.
You like it old timey.
Yeah,
it's sort of steampunkish.
The problem
sure.
was last decade, right?
Because I have leather with
it's more gold brushish, but
a monocle and some sort of magnifying glass attached to my helmet.
Okay.
Anyway,
1974.
Adam, I sat down and I played this game for hours. I played it
Far Cry,
like I played Skyrim, which was I was in it. To win it, baby.
How
I was
did
Randy
you feel
Jackson, this bitch.
About what was the Western Red Dead?
Red Dead. I liked Red Dead.
Okay,
but I like this game better.
Oh, I understand that. I feel like Red Dead, Grand Theft Autos, Skyrim, and Far Cry
a little
are kind
up while
of
you talk.
All the same game, in the sense that you know they're all open world. You go to the map. There's the main quest, but you could probably spend about 15 hours on the game before you even do the the first main quest thing.
That's completely fair. This game brings a couple of different
attitudes, a lot of swearing.
It's got a intriguing plot line,
mm-hmm.
which gets a little weird at the end. Okay. But I think the basic premise of it is a really good premise for a game.
How come they don't know how to pronounce tattoo?
How do they say it? Tattoo?
Tatao. Tattoo. Something weird. I don't know.
It is weird.
Is that some sort of weird text-to-speech glitch?
No. It's their accent.
Yeah, I mean, this game was made... It wasn't made by Americans, right? So...
So, obviously they did it wrong.
Crytek? I don't know. Crytek's European,
I don't think so. Yeah, it's a European...
Did they name their dev house after the game?
Crysis was the first one, and they named it after Crysis 1.
Oh, okay.
So Far Cry and Crysis are the same.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So, here's a couple different things on this game, which... maybe it follows more of the Skyrim pattern, but it is a sandbox game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fully first person. Which initially I hated that idea. Like, sandbox should always be third person. But the problem with even Grand Theft Auto and in Red Dead, is that the mechanics of shooting is
still terrible.
Is poor.
Yeah.
So they just eliminate that by going first person.
Yeah.
And it's not like...
If you're shooting a lot, you have to be first person.
And,
sorry.
And Jared said...
Sorry, purists.
When I was talking to Jared about this, he said, oh, I don't know if I could play this game because it's too first person-y.
I like first person. I just can't grok the controller's controls. I can never precise enough.
It's not a... This game isn't one of those games where it's... You know, you're playing Modern Warfare where you're constantly being shot at. I mean, it's a little bit more methodical in what you do. As I was telling Jared, my favorite part about the game...
That would be me.
I'm looking at Adam when I say that. When I was telling Jared, what I really liked about the game is that they have a lot of stealth missions and a lot of missions in general where you can approach them from, you know, maybe not the main storyline, but when you're fighting the pirates at their bases and you're trying to take over their bases.
Man, I killed a guy by doing one of those takedowns, like that is a gruesome takedown.
It's very gruesome. And there are things like in these pirate camps, you can just sit and watch, and all of a sudden, like, some wildlife will wander in and kill everyone in there.
Yep.
And then you get the base because a tiger came in there and they couldn't kill the tiger in time.
So you've never played Far
and
Cry
then you
1
kill
or 2,
the tiger,
right?
No.
Because
I would not recommend going... They're nothing like this game. Those are both first-person shooters. A lot of people like them. I tried both. I couldn't deal with them. Whoa.
Jared hates them.
But they have had this kind of weird simulation aspect to the games where if you start a fire on one end of the island...
Yeah.
And you play for 15 hours, that fire will continue to grow and grow. Okay. And eventually it could overtake the entire
island.
And
then the game is over.
I don't know what happens
at that
point.
That's a personal
decision. Yeah, don't start that fire.
So I'm letting you know this both as a warning, maybe not to try the first two if you have that in mind.
I have no interest in trying them.
So the whole wildlife attacking and like there's other stuff going on while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like there's fights that keep breaking out. Like after I killed a guy and then like I heard gunfire and I turned around and I don't know who was fighting, but people were shooting each other.
Yeah.
And I was far enough away where they didn't even know I was there.
Yeah, you could just watch it unfold.
But I don't even know who they were. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to leave. This is weird.
Yeah. Yeah. The island feels like it's a living, breathing part of the game. It's not perfect. I mean, since it's all on a tropical island, a lot of the island feels the same. It's not like, okay, I'm going into the Chinatown district, and it looks completely different than, you know, this other park area. It's very homogenized in that sense, but it's a lot of fun to play. You can approach it from many different angles. A lot of the special stuff that you can do in it, whether it's, you know, side missions, are interesting. The control is top-notch. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you do in there beyond hunt wildlife. There's vehicles. There's hang gliding.
Do you ever get to do any gourmet cooking?
No cooking.
Oh.
No cooking.
There is skinning.
Okay.
And each time, I don't know if his stuff, what he's saying changes, but the very first time that you skin an animal, he's like, oh, fuck, this is gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I harvest the countryside for raw materials and then go build a town?
You can harvest plants.
This is not Minecraft.
I'm not interested in it.
One of the coolest moments in this game was the first time I was in the ocean. In a shark-infested area, and you're diving and looking for things, and it feels like a Jaws moment, where, you know, like, there's a shark coming at me. It's not like I could pull up my gun and shoot it. I'm in big trouble. Stuff like that. And, just to have that element in this game, which is mostly a land-based game, is pretty cool, I think.
Mm-hmm. Neat. Yeah, I liked the little bit I played of it yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to not have to play Black Ops 2 anymore. This double XP weekend has made me decide I'm done with that game
forever, maybe or just this.
Well,
this
I'm not going to sell it, so maybe I'll. No, I mean I'll play the next one. I'll probably keep playing.
Well,
this one
why are you and I never playing together on this game?
I don't know. I don't see you ever on there.
I've been other things. I'm actually moved on to the Sleeping Dogs or whatever, which is another underrated sandbox type game, which takes place in Taiwan, I think. Very much Grand Theft Auto type of game.
I got it real.
Or Hong Kong, I got it really cheap, and it's made the game of the year list, or top 10 for some media outlets. So thought I'd give it a shot. So that's what I've been up to.
Cool. Well, I know you guys are sick of hearing about Minecraft, but I have to talk about it a little bit just because I've sort of kind of found the love of it for it again after taking a long extended break, and it's largely due because I've started running my own server. And so I've gotten into multiplayer for the first time. And it's a private server, so don't ask. You're not getting on it.
Oh.
Not you guys. You guys, if you wanted to, you could. But I'm talking to the larger audience.
Do we want to get on it? Get up on it.
I've played it on the Xbox, and it just doesn't draw me in.
It's not the same.
I know.
It's not the same.
It's, not the same. It's the same game.
It's not the same, isn't it?
The Xbox One is kind of it's limited in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
so. If you're not into games where it's you're collecting resources, building stuff, and basically, you know, there are no goals other than what you make for yourself.
We have so you have friends on this server.
So yeah. So
what do you guys do?
You touch each other's dicks. We know it.
Your 4 pixel penises
over Skype. We sexy talk over Skype.
It's at least eight pixels.
So yeah, I've been playing a lot with I play with my nephew first of all, which is sort of initially why I started. He's 9. What's the ew?
I don't know.
Stop the dick talk.
Yeah, wow. I gotta cut off of the penis talk.
So I play with my 9-year-old nephew, and this was one of the reasons primarily why I set up the server, because then I knew it would be a private...
It's a safe place
controlled server that his parents would let him go on.
Yeah. Do you read Penny Arcade?
No.
Okay. There was a comic a few months ago where his son started playing... I don't know if it... I think it was... Maybe it was Terraria. I don't know. One of the games like this. And it was just like, please don't let the internet break you. With terrible people.
It was touching. It was a few touching moments on Penny Arcade.
Quick sidebar on the whole nephew thing. We were playing last night, and we weren't talking to each other at first. He was just typing back and forth on the in-game chat, and he's like... just so you know, I don't type very fast because I was apparently sending messages at it quickly. And so I typed in, lol, that's because you're 9. And then I said, but you'll get better. Don't worry. He responded with smiley faces on
it.
Do
9-year-olds
know? The kid is 30 years younger than you. You're playing video games with a kid that's 30 years younger than you.
Isn't that weird? Like,
that's kind of the fun of the game, though. It's like it appeals to such a broad range of people, which is
part
of the...
Do you torture him? Do you like build like little prisons around him that he can't get out, and then he goes and tells his dad?
No.
Jared's trapping me.
I try to play fair, and I kind of have to scold him a bit because he gets a little PvP. He likes to attack me, and I'm like, hey, that's not cool.
Yeah,
put the smackdown on
him. It's funny that you say that, because Audrey and I have been playing the Wii U together lately, the Super Mario Brothers, and she is vicious. You know, we're playing together to beat the levels, but you know, she will get all of the mushrooms or all the fire plants, and then I'll say, Audrey, you're getting all the stuff, and then you're bouncing me into the fish, and then she'll just say, sorry. Did your nephew ever say that to you?
No, he's not quite so snarky. So, but I have to learn that he actually, you know, he gets scared in the game, so he doesn't like the bad guys. You know, if we go into the nether world, he doesn't like to run around too much because of the bad guys. So, but I found that because I do a lot of building, so when he's on there, I find that if I can like lay out kind of a pattern that I want him to fill in, he can fill in the rest of it pretty easily. So that's
he's kind cheap
of
labor.
He's pretty much.
He's your Foxconn.
We're working. I'm working on a walled town right now, and so I laid out the pattern of the wall, and he can fill in the.
Jared's
the
got
gap.
A Minecraft iPad factory.
Yeah, exactly. They sleep in the dormitories that I build, and so anyway. So primarily,
I'm writing that down. I like that idea.
Primarily, I've been playing with former guests of the show, John and Mike, and. We're working our town. We've been digging holes. We've been exploring caves and just, I don't know, having fun.
Do you worry that the upcoming release of SimCity, the first SimCity game, because it doesn't have a number after it, will take you away from this? Did you like SimCity? I mean, I know it's not the same game, but it has similar aspects.
Okay. Probably not. I don't think I'll even play that. I mean, I don't really PC game at all, and this is just one of the weird ones that sucked me in. And it's not just the game itself. There's like there's a whole community around it. There's a bunch of YouTube people that make videos, like, I enjoy watching those. And so I watch those, and I get ideas, and I, you know, want to go and build my own stuff. There's a whole creative side of it, too. So, I don't know.
Cool.
I love it. I like playing with... I mean, we played for, gosh, I think 4.5 hours Friday night when our initial plans fell through.
Your initial plans were to play 8.5 hours.
No. Our initial plans were to get together and roll up characters for our upcoming roleplay adventure, but then kids intervened. One was sick, one had a meltdown at school, and so those plans got scuttled, and so we convened on Skype and played Minecraft for 4.5 hours.
Wow.
So, I don't know. It's a lot of fun.
He loves it.
I like it. So
sounds like it. I played the SimCity beta. That's why I asked.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
It's really pretty.
Is it still SimCity?
It is. And I think that they're doing weird things where they're adding more goals and objectives into it. I think The Sims eventually had that a lot, like, you know, get this guy a job. So
build a great sewer system.
Right. And I think that's helpful for me. I need games where there's like a goal, you know, like I can say this is the thing I need to check off.
You're not super self-motivated.
I'm not.
I'm not normally, but for whatever
reason. How long have you known Adam?
I'm just, for whatever reason, in Minecraft, I've got a whole list of projects I want to build. So,
yeah. Yeah. The thing is, you know how in the last, I don't know, 5 years, betas have really just been demos?
Yeah.
Like, it's not really a beta. This is the most demo beta I've ever seen, because they even limit you to an hour. Play session is only an hour.
Hmm.
And then it lets you play
again.
Like
a two-story
building.
You have
to restart. So it's like, this, you know, the idea of a beta is, hey, we need feedback, you know, if you experience, but they're clearly not even looking for that. It's just a marketing demo if you're limiting it to that. So I'm not pre-ordering.
Screw you.
I'll just buy it when it comes out, though.
Very good. So Adam, let's get into one thing that you sent an email as we were preparing for the Scope episode 136. You said, hey guys, we got a little trouble. I am in the, not emergency room, you're in urgent care, which is a little bit different, with your fiance.
All right. Just lady.
Lady. Oh, I was just trying to see if there's news I didn't. News in the new year.
Weird.
For years, I've been concerned about your marital status, and it hasn't changed.
I know. You're always looking at my W-4.
I am. It's all tax-related for me, really. So why were you there? What happened? And how is she feeling? Give us the full story.
She's allergic to everything, more or less. She did one
both
of those.
Milk and soy?
She can't have anything.
She can only have radish milk.
Nut allergies?
Radish milk?
You have not been watching the season of Portlandia.
No.
No.
So she went to like an allergist a few years ago. She's known she's allergic to everything for a long time. But she had the thing where they like
prick
a million spots on your back. And so it's like there's 54 different ones that they, you know, and she was allergic to 51 of them.
I would love to see a picture of her back, what it looked like.
Yeah, it was
probably
just
disgusting.
Giant red welts everywhere.
Wow.
So she knows what to avoid.
Yeah, everything.
Well, it's most. Like,
is she allergic to trees?
No. Yes, she's allergic to some pollen from some trees or many trees. And anyway, like, you know, that like it makes her stuffy. Like
animals?
Yep, cats. She's allergic to.
And you have a cat?
Two cats.
Dogs?
She's not allergic to dogs.
Okay.
But she's allergic to berries. Deathly allergic to berries.
Any sort of berry?
Any real berry. Like, cranberry is not an actual berry.
No.
I don't know if you knew that.
No, now I do.
Grows in a bog, not on a vine, so it's not
any
really
vine-based berry, Jared. Look out!
Yes.
Raspberries?
Raspberries, yes.
Strawberries. What about snozzberry?
What's a snozzberry?
Who's ever heard of a snozzberry?
What about the dingleberry?
Well, one of my dumb cats has dingleberries all the time.
And Adam loves the way that dingleberry.
Mandy, the way that Mandy reacts, I think she's allergic to them. So,
in other words, it's your job to pick up after them.
Yeah. And she used to also be allergic to red dye, or not allergic. What's it called? She had a
allergic reaction.
It's where you're not allergic.
Aversion.
Yeah, something to red dye. And I'm colorblind,
she only eats M&M's from 1984.
Yep.
Exactly.
She likes those sort of light tan colored ones.
Okay. Anyway,
I don't know why 1984 is my go-to 80s year. Whenever I just grab one at random, it's always 84.
84 is the best year of the 80s, by the way.
Because you're an Apple fanboy.
I hadn't thought about that.
There we go.
Anyway, sorry to hijack your story, Adam.
So
I'm all about sidebars.
Last night, she was going to a fundraiser. She goes to this every year.
Oh, it's, she's such a goody two-shoes.
And I went to a friend of the show, Jess's house, to help her. She's moving, so I was helping her with dismantling some stuff.
I don't think she's been on the show since we left the teens episodes.
I would agree.
An acquaintance of the...
You know what? She was on one of the trivia ones, wasn't she? So I don't know.
Maybe we called her randomly one time.
So by the time I get home from helping Jess, Mandy calls and she's like, I have to come home. I'm having an allergic reaction and we don't know to what. But she did have some new granola that had cranberries in it. But the ingredients didn't have any berries on it at all. So our guess is that it had berries in it because she broke out in hives everywhere. Her nose.
I like how you immediately went to the breast area.
That's where they were. And on her back.
So you were right in there.
It went down to
look,
her
arms. I'm just checking. I'm just checking.
Right. It's the only way she lets me get a peek. It's really rude.
So you're feeding her snozzberries.
Wow. Yeah, you got it.
You like to say snozzberries.
It got down to her palms.
Who's ever heard of
which
them?
Is, in terms of allergic reactions, like the place you don't want them to be.
Oh, that's bad.
That means it's basically worked all the way from the center of your body out to your limbs.
The extremities.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So off you go.
Right. And the last time this happened seriously was like 2 years ago. She didn't used to be allergic to blueberries. It used to just be a small set of berries. So she had blueberries when she was at her parents' house, and Kaboom. She woke up in the middle of the night. Her head
the
was Oompa swollen.
Loompas had to roll her out.
Well, she couldn't
roll her out of the room.
Just like just like in Willy Wonka. Yeah.
Veruca Salt.
Yeah, it wasn't Veruca Salt. It was
whatever
the chewing gum girl.
Oh yeah, come on.
What's with the asides?
So she was worried because she was already having trouble swallowing and breathing. So sure. We had to go there and urgent care.
Why do you not go to the emergency room instead?
Cost.
Gotcha. Okay.
You're one of those people.
Well, I mean, she knew.
Oh,
she
if you're having a heart attack, don't go to urgent care.
She had her.
Go to the emergency room.
It's more than urgent. It's an emergency.
Right. She had her EpiPen with her, yeah. So you know I was ready to jab it into her leg and give her a shot of epinephrine.
That's not one of those things where you jab into her heart like a
like
Quentin Tarantino
no.
type of.
No,
okay,
not quite. So we knew she'd be okay, but epinephrine fucks you up for a couple days.
It's touch and go.
So it's to be avoided if possible.
Yeah.
So what is she doing now?
She's on steroids. She actually texted me a few minutes ago.
Well, no, Tour de France for her.
She's bench pressing 400 pounds.
Here,
she's sponsored by Livestrong now. Very strange.
Yeah, I know.
She says, these roids make me feel amped. Yep. That's a direct
amped.
Alternating caps on the amped.
That's about right.
It looks like she's mashing it with giant angry hands,
nice.
The virtual keyboard.
Yeah.
She's going to take care of your business tonight, isn't she?
Wow. I don't know what that means.
Hey, you know exactly what it means.
She's amped.
It means you're drinking fizzy lifting drink tonight.
Indeed.
You get nothing.
Where is
you
it?
You lose.
Do I not have that?
You, of course you have it.
I don't have it on my board, though.
Oh,
I don't think.
Christ, you need to work on that.
You know.
So she's alive. She's
good.
Fine.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, that's a scary, scary thing.
Yep. Scary. Yeah, way to make light of it, jerks.
That's what we do here.
I wasn't worried. The whole time I was like, I could be playing my SimCity beta.
My 1 hour of SimCity instead I'm here looking at...
I could be finishing Asura's Wrath, which I'm trying to finish this weekend.
You got a girlfriend that's starting to look like the Elephant Man from all these welts. Hands blowing up like the size of delicious Thanksgiving yams.
It's just annoying, and I've told her, you have bad genes, so, I mean, in...
Seriously, she's still wearing Jordache?
If this was 200 years ago, you would have died already.
1984!
You'd be gone.
Yeah. Didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
But we walked out of there without paying any money, so I said, thank you, Obamacare.
And you did that because you just snuck out of the...
I'm sure there will be
like an
expensive
Sly
bill
style.
in a couple weeks.
Sure enough. Which you'll then submit to your health insurance, I'm sure.
I don't know how it works.
I don't know how
I let her handle all that
it's
stuff.
A whole new year. Well, guys, it's a whole new year, so
right.
We probably should push on to the show.
All
our
right.
Opening has been very, very long.
Do we want to talk Super Bowl?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the B block.
Okay.
That'll be part of our round table.
All right.
So we're bringing back, we call this the Lazy Man Show, the Nerd Round Table. Means we didn't really want to prepare
the
anything.
The Lazy Man Show. I like that part of the Nerd Round Table is football talk.
Yeah.
Every nerd
talks
about.
Sort of the subtext to it is... things my friends have been saying on the internet that have been pissing me off.
Okay.
That we're going to be discussing. So I figure, why not piss everybody else off by talking about football?
By the way, I don't have the fancy Nerd Roundtable music because I didn't realize that we were calling it that. Sorry.
Oh, jeez.
That's all right.
This show is in shambles.
You said Lazy Man's Show, so I got the stock music.
All right, we'll do that. So we will do a Nerd Roundtable. Well, we've got some great topics that are sure to fire up our base.
Yeah.
Coming soon, the one component of Under the Scope. Adam's mom demanded that we continue to do Under the Scope in 2013, so I relented and said yes.
We listen to her because she's been in the same room with Obama.
Twice now, at least.
And probably hugged him.
Well, she did hug him once. That was the picture you've seen.
Certain powers are conferred upon her with that hug.
Whoa. Like midichlorians?
I think so.
I don't know if those are transferable through hugs.
But through through jizz, I think, there.
Wow. What are you saying?
Well, that goes a little darker and further than I wanted to go in the midichlorian combat.
Do we have impeachment worries now with Obama? I mean, is she his Monica Lewinsky?
I don't think my mom's telling anyone, but... Okay.
Not even the love of her life?
Does she still have the dress?
That's the question. I mean me.
I thought you meant me.
No.
I don't know.
She calls me to get the dirt on you. Like, what is he up to? What is that little bastard up to?
He won't put it on Facebook.
He hates it. He's on this Tumblr business now.
Do you know that Mandy is friends with my mom on Facebook, but I'm not?
What's up with that?
I said, no, you're my mom. I'm not going to be friends with
you. That's going to be all of 137. We're getting into the bottom of that.
I'm sure my mom
episode.
Looks at my post on Facebook and goes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Just an audible sigh.
Head down.
I'm not friends with your mom on Facebook, Jared.
That's fine.
I didn't even know she was on Facebook.
She is.
All right. Well, anyway, so 136 has got a lot. We got a lot of ground to cover, guys. So let's take a quick break.
Yep.
And then we'll come back with more of your favorite podcast right after this.
Whether you're attending MarsCon 2013 or not, you can still help out this year's Performing Comedy Music Acts by ordering the MarsCon 2013 Dementia Track Fundraiser Album. Available to purchase both as an MP3 download and as a 3-CD set, it's just under 4 hours of excerpts from all of MarsCon 2012's live main stage concerts. The funds raised will go towards covering the hotel room costs for the Dementia Track main stage concert performers this year. This year's collection includes comedy and music by TV's Kyle, Cirque du Soleil, Worm Quartet, The Gothsicles, Sea Monkey, Possible Oscar, The Boobles, Dino Mike, Consortium of Genius, Devo Spice, The Great Luke Ski, Power Salad, Feng Shui Ninjas, Beth Kinderman, DJ Particle, Jeff Rubin, Brett Glass, and Derwood Bowen. You can get the 3-CD set with MP3 download for just $30, or you can just get the MP3 download only version for $20. If you'd like to hear a free 35-minute preview of the collection, there's a link to that download at our website. You can order the MarsCon 2013 Dementia Track Fundraiser Album and MP3s and CDs of our previous year's collections as well right now from the fundraiser shop at MarsConDementia.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope to see all you funny music fans at MarsCon 2013.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Scope, episode 136 in the Hizzy for Shizzy. This is the Nerd Roundtable. If Jared would have been doing his job, you'd know it more clearly.
Lazy Mad Show.
It's the lazy edition.
I prepared in literally half an hour today.
Wow.
Literally half an hour.
I probably put in an hour and 20
That's
minutes.
That's okay. I get all the post-production, Shane, so there.
You do. And how long has Adam prepared for this?
Well, the news took about, almost an hour, 40 minutes, I guess.
See? Look at that. Look at that quality time spent preparing a program for you folks.
And then we shoot all the emails and all the electronic data back and forth over the internet.
Yeah, using the pipes over my brand new upgraded cable modem. I should have done that a long time ago. It is DOCSIS 3.
Yeah.
My old one died.
And you said, how did you get a new one, by the way?
I just went to the Xfinity store, and I got in line, and then the 20 people in front of me got serviced, and then finally I got serviced.
Isn't it amazing? And this is a huge tangent from the Nerd Roundtable, but probably 9 out of 10 times I've gone to the Xfinity store, it is like some sort of third world country. There's a line that goes out the door. Everyone's having problems with cable all the time.
I didn't even know there was an Xfinity store.
Yeah, they have it set up like a fancy showroom, and I'm like, who comes here to shop?
Yeah, they just redid it.
Weird.
The last time I went, Jared, I went like on a weekday, like 1:30 or so. I walked in, walked out. I was done in 5 minutes.
I'm sure.
My head almost exploded.
I was there Saturday at 4 o'clock, so I expected it to be busy, and it was.
Is it kind of weird still for you guys? Okay, I mean, how long have you guys been on the internet?
15 years.
Right.
I remember being introduced to the internet in the... Jesus, probably mid-90s.
Yeah, 1993.
Yeah, right around there.
I got a computer for my bar mitzvah, and I got AOL, eWorld, and we had a local internet provider, and I got all three of them.
Yeah.
That was 20 years ago.
I know.
And it's still weird to me today that, like, effectively everyone has internet, and, like, everyone has fast internet, you know? Like, back then it was like the internet was like a nerd thing, right?
And when you got that 33.6K modem, whoo,
perfect for the round table.
and now it's like you go and you're like, why are you on the internet? Like, isn't your phone enough? Like, what are you doing?
Who? What?
I don't know.
This one, you've lost me. You've utterly lost me.
Are you saying
me.
That there's a certain class of people who are there who shouldn't be on the internet?
Nope.
What are you?
I'm not trying to be classist.
Okay.
I'm just. It's just weird. It's still weird to me. Is all just because of what I used to see. You know, in terms of like who used the internet. It's just weird that it's an everyone thing still to me.
You're saying that some people should have evolved past it?
Nope.
I don't have any idea.
Yeah, this one, normally, Adam, I'm with you. This one, I don't even know what to say.
We'll just edit this. We'll throw this out to the Scope audience. If you are able to properly interpret what Adam is trying to tell.
Decipher the Sitnik code.
Write into us at commentsoftheScopeshow.com. Call the voicemail line 612-21-SCOPE and let us know what Adam is talking about.
Do you
about.
Need some sort of special like, pen-shaped thing? Where
I just don't think girls should
it.
Be on the internet. All right? That's what I'm trying to say.
All right. Well, let's piss
and,
off
and Mexicans.
Let's piss off the fan base right away by getting into NFL talk.
Is it those accented characters?
Yeah, they
okay. Right.
Okay, let's sum this up quickly for all that all you listeners out there. Both the Vikings and the Redskins made the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
And they're both in the Super Bowl. How did that happen?
And we are picking who to win. So actually, it was a terrible week for the opening week for the playoffs weekend. Vikings lost their starting quarterback, lost the game, as they probably should have in glorious fashion. How did the Redskins do?
They lost.
They lost their quarterback. They might have lost their quarterback for longer.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not thinking about it. We'll wait till August.
For all of our fans, tell everyone who the Redskins quarterback is.
Robert Griffin III.
The third.
It's the third Robert Griffin.
RG the yep. third. I'm just going to...
Rookie of the year, probably.
I'm going to tell you this, and all this right. this is going to be a problem that a lot of sportscasters don't they don't really address until it happens.
Manti Te'o. Come on.
You've got
Tuliasa Sopo.
I don't know anything about that story.
All these Samoan
some
guys.
Of the names.
Any quarterback that they claim to be part of the... What am I, Robin Quivers? What's going on here? Any quarterback that they claim to be part of the new generation of super fast, super mobile, super accurate quarterback is going to have a short shelf life. Because any quarterback that runs is eventually going to get hurt and is not going to have the longevity of a pocket passer. Jared, do you agree?
I kind of agree. They may be around for a while, but they're always going to have probably missed several games in a season, like your Michael Vick.
Michael Vick is a perfect example of that.
He plays that way.
Dante Culpepper, perfect example of it.
He
only takes
blew
one
his
injury
knee out and never came back. Colin Kaepernick
runs around nonstop,
and he will get hurt eventually.
I mean, everyone gets hurt eventually. It's football.
But good quarterbacks are in the league a long time.
John Elway ran all the time. He was in the league for 16 years.
I would argue that John Elway was not the same type of quarterback where they had tons of option type plays for him to run.
Sure. I read an article about the Seahawks' Russell Wilson, how he's also that type of running mobile quarterback, but he seems to have a sense of how to not take a hit or how to take a hit so that he doesn't get injured. So
until he gets injured by a hit.
They're kind of projecting that he may kind of break that mold of the running quarterback who eventually shortens his career.
It probably won't matter much longer because you're not going to be allowed to tackle very hard in the NFL.
You think that is
really, really soon.
That's what we're coming towards.
They're going to have to do something.
Like, take them out of pads.
I say take helmets off. People are not going to be spearing people if they're not wearing helmets.
True enough.
Back to the leather helmet?
Sure. Or nothing. Make him wear baseball caps.
I like that. Would the bill be flat or curved?
Yeah. You wear it backwards. Back. Like a catcher. Then it's cool.
It gives you streamline ability.
Yeah. And this is the issue with helmets is that as they make them more protective, people then become more reckless.
Yep.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's technology out there to help to greatly reduce concussions, but, I mean, that's just going to make people seem even more invincible.
Your brains are still going to get scrambled because you can put a big protective thing around it. It's still going to shake around when you get hit.
Yep. It's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to change the rules and, you know, trying to make rules against hitting in the head at all. And I think that's at some point you're just going to have to, if you make a helmet-to-helmet hit, you're ejected.
The problem...
That's going to have to be the penalty, otherwise it'll never stop.
Here's the problem,
because people
though,
will
Jared.
Pay the fines.
Here's the problem, Jared.
Okay.
The game moves so quickly that a lot of those helmet-to-helmet hits are not even intentional.
I
know. It's just they're there.
It doesn't matter. I understand that.
It doesn't matter.
But that's how you stop it as much as you're ever going to stop it, is if you make a helmet-to-helmet hit, inadvertently or not, you're out of the game.
You take off their heads with some sort of scientific process.
I guarantee you it will stop. People will change how they play the game.
Like, so you're saying they're inadvertent because, you know, the guy was trying to hit him with the shoulder pad. All right. Like, those are happening because dudes are diving and trying to hit people. So,
okay, okay. Right,
then you're not diving anymore.
Somehow, if like, geez, calm down, RG.
If you, maybe you, I mean, I don't know if this works, but maybe you change it so you cannot toss yourself at an opponent. You can't, your feet can't leave the ground when you're trying to tackle someone. I think that upsets the balance because I think the offenses will just run roughshod over defenses at that point.
Then you have to make the football weigh 96 pounds when they throw it.
There's a way you can reduce it. You'll never eliminate it completely. I think my proposed rule of ejection for helmet-to-helmet hits, period, would do a lot of good.
Yep. Have you submitted this to Roger Goodell?
No.
Roger, he's looking for feedback.
Does he have a website where I can open a petition, and then if I get 10,000 people to sign it, he will make an official response?
He said that any good idea will never be ignored, Jared.
Okay. I just need a conduit to him. Is there like a homing pigeon?
AskRaj.com.
Is there a homing pigeon I can contract?
Just get a letter and tape 100 pennies to it.
You can tweet at NFL Commish. That is the official Twitter of the NFL Commissioner.
I love it.
Okay.
So let's get to the real heart of the matter.
Yep.
We've got Super Bowl picks.
Yep.
Adam wants to talk MVP of the league picks. So let's just do MVP first.
All right.
It's Adrian Peterson. Next, football picks. It's got to be Adrian Peterson.
We're doing should and will win.
Right.
How about that?
I think that Adrian Peterson's going to get it. I think he's a lock on both.
I think he should win, and I think he will win.
I think that everything that I've read from major sports writers always seems to say, yeah, you've got some great stuff from Manning. You got some great stuff from
Rodgers.
From Rodgers, but
no, Rodgers is not. No, forget it.
But they've.
Down to Manning and Peterson.
But the fact of the matter is, what our good friend of the show AP All Day has done is a little bit more historic. And
it's not about stats. It's not about history. Here's the deal.
Go ahead.
The Broncos were almost a complete team. They were in the playoffs last year.
Yes.
They were almost a complete team before they got
Manning. Riding on the back of Jesus.
Manning just added that extra piece for them to be a contender. The Vikings would have been nothing this year without Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
So that is the gauge of who is the most valuable player to their team, period. Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, if the Vikings didn't have AP, they would be at the 5-win level that I said, if that.
The flip side of that, well, I don't know if it's the flip side, the companion award that these two players are also up for contend for is the comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
Who does that go to? I think it should be AP. I think Manning gets it as a consolation for not getting the MVP.
Well, AP, I mean, he came back from an injury that, at the very least, would devastate a player for his career.
There's no business. He had no
like
business.
Show business. You said it.
He had no business coming back and starting the game one, much less.
Yep.
Putting up the second most yards in NFL history.
And he was not even running at full speed at the beginning of the season, Jared.
If he had, he would have blown away that record.
You say Eric Dickerson? Take a hike, brother.
Yeah.
Take a hike.
Take a Jerry curl and your goggles.
You poor sported bastard. He was a poor sport, Adam, correct?
Sure.
He said, I don't want people winning. I don't want people breaking my records.
Yeah.
Well, records I hope he doesn't break it. That's what he said. What do you think about that?
I think that it's right for the person that holds a record that's been a record for 30 years to not want someone to break their record.
But to say it out loud is a dick move.
Well, whatever.
Thank you.
Well, his dick is in his name. Adam, what is your opinion on the
MVP?
I think that people love Peyton Manning too much, and I don't think he should. I think AP should win it, but I think the MVP goes to Peyton Manning.
So you got two votes for AP, one for Manning on the MVP.
Did you see the picture of Peyton Manning on BuzzFeed on vacation? Holy crap!
No, I didn't.
The guy looks like me when you take his pads off. He's got a belly.
He's smart, though.
He's flabby.
That doesn't mean he's not a good player.
I feel like I could be a player in the NFL looking like that.
You're not tall enough. He'd be like Russell Wilson out there.
Can you audible from the line like he does?
I can call hot reads, Jared.
Okay.
I can call hot reads,
yeah.
Peyton Manning does not deserve an award having a belly like that.
Wow.
He looks like he's had three kids. Okay. That's what he looks like.
How many kids does he have?
He looked like he birthed three kids.
Okay.
I think he's got a cesarean scar there.
Probably. He'll never show his belly, though, because he's a gentleman.
I mean...
Hey, he did show it. Oh. It was over his Bermuda shorts.
Roger Clemens, steroids and everything, was never a fit man.
Yeah.
He won Cy Young Awards.
Fair enough. Just a quick tangent. I was. It's football related. I was looking at some pictures at CNN. They had posted about. It was from the first Super Bowl. So it was Packers.
Chiefs.
And they had pictures of the players in the locker room at halftime.
It's weird that you're looking at naked
and,
men.
And I'm not shitting you. One of the Packers had a heater and a beer in his hand.
That's the 60s for you.
There you go.
There was no off-season program. No, I mean, these guys probably worked the docks between football seasons.
Are we done with MVP?
Sure.
Yes.
So we've got AP should win. Yep. AP will win for two of us. Manning will win from Adam.
Yep.
So we'll see how it plays out. Super Bowl picks this year. It is.
Do we want to do Rookie of the Year? I'm the only one.
I couldn't even pick it. So if you guys want to pick it, go ahead.
Okay. I just have an opinion. I think I agree with Adam. I think RG3 will win it, but I think Russell Wilson should win it.
Where does Russell Brand fit into this?
Russell Brand should be banished. I don't know.
Russell Wilson effectively didn't have a first half of the season. If you look at his stats for the first half there.
I agree.
He didn't throw for over 250 yards in any all but one game.
I think once they switched up the offense, he just became... I mean, my God, how many points did they put up in those last four games? That's insane.
They were against terrible teams, too.
In a terrible city, in a terrible stadium.
Still.
Terrible fans.
You put up 50 points against a team, that's a statement.
That's a lot of points.
That's the end of my opinion.
So this year, Super Bowl, it is the...
Who cares versus the other who cares?
The jerkish
Packers Chiefs. We're going back to the 60s.
49ers versus the murder-escaping Ray Lewis and the Baltimore
Ravens.
As they like Wes to call Walker's
it,
wife.
It's the Harbowl. Brother versus brother on the head coaching.
Adam,
Jim and John.
We'll look at you. You study statistics of football.
No.
You're in it all the time.
All right.
Yeah, you live it.
Yeah,
you wear the eye paint underneath your eyes to deflect the sun. You've got to have an opinion on this.
Yeah, I hate both Harbaughs.
Yeah, they're both assholes.
They're both assholes. I hate Jim more.
Jim is the 49ers.
Yeah, I hate him more. Like, if you ever see, like, animated GIFs on the internet
of him...
You hate
him because he's the younger brother?
Like, he's just, like, frothing at the mouth.
Yeah, he's like an angry dog.
So I just want to not pick them, but I think they'll win.
49ers you're picking?
Yeah.
Do you have a score?
30 to 22.
That's an interesting numbers. Not sure how you get there with football scores, but all right.
22?
I will go next.
22 is a tough one.
22, two touchdowns, and then another touchdown with a two-point conversion.
Okay.
I will go next.
I don't know why you would do that when you're down by two touchdowns, but all right. Go ahead.
I will go next, Jared.
Yes.
I agree with almost everything Adam says.
Yes.
But I hate the Ravens. I hate Ray Lewis. I hate the fact that the guy seemingly got away with murder.
He didn't get away with murder.
By the way, are you noting these scores down? Because I don't have them. We want to put those up on them. 30 to 22 for Adam. Anyway.
He has a bloody suit that disappeared, Adam. Where did the bloody suit go? Exactly.
Who cares?
Exactly.
He's trouble, is what I'm telling. Although he was great.
A black guy gets acquitted of murder and he got away with murder. A white guy gets acquitted of murder and the innocent go free. Interesting.
Who is the white guy?
I don't know.
He's talking in broad,
Bobby Bonilla.
Broad racial terms over here.
The great imitation of Ray Lewis on SNL last night, by the way. It was kind of funny. In all seriousness, I don't like Ray Lewis's face mask. That's really my biggest problem. It looks like some sort of knight.
They do that because they're tired of getting their eyes and everything poked.
Like the mouth guard, where it's like super.
Yeah,
it's a super grid.
Like
I don't like.
They're doing that.
He's like he's actually cooking waffles, right on the field. If push comes to shove, I almost always cheer for the NFC, unless it's the Packers. So I am picking the 49ers to win as well.
They did beat the Packers. So you must
they did
like
beat
that
the Packers. Adam picked
your
three.
Wife in love with their new quarterback.
Yes.
I think he's funny looking, but whatever.
He is. So Adam said 30 to 22.
Yep.
I would say 30 to 21. I'm going to totally freaking Price is Right, your bitch ass, right here.
All
right.
Interesting.
30-21. Jared, you're up.
We've all made good statements. I'm not really a fan of the Ravens. I don't like them that much. I guess I'm not really a huge fan of the 49ers either, but I think they're a young, fun team to watch. And I think they also will win the Super Bowl. And I'm picking the score 35-31. These are all easily obtainable football scores.
Except for Adams.
I think that the 49ers might even have a field goal attempt that gets missed, because David Akers is having a rough time.
I will write that down. Field goal a...
Side bets.
Miss.
All right.
So it could be 38-31.
Heads or tails on the coin toss to start.
No, a better question. Do you think Paul Rudd is really good friends with Ray Lewis?
I don't know. Is that a thing?
Oh, the Madden commercials all year have been Ray Lewis and Paul Rudd playing Madden.
No, I don't think so.
I hope they are, and I hope that they have a movie or a TV show about it.
That would be fun. I do like Ray Lewis in the Old Spice commercials.
Here's the big question.
Not Ray Lewis. Not every black person is the same, Shane.
Who'd you say?
Hmm?
I thought Ray Lewis was
He's been in some.
I know. Jeez Louise.
Terry Crews is the main guy, though.
Yeah, I like the old ones.
Okay. Here's the big question. Ray Lewis has put an awful lot of faith in God when it comes to his career and his Super Bowl chances. If the Ravens lose, will he abandon his faith?
Renounce God. Oh,
the imitation of Ray Lewis yesterday said if he wins the Super Bowl, he will go to the 50-yard line. He will raise his hands, and God will pull him up through the stadium to the heavens right in front of everyone.
Interesting.
I would like to see that. I would cheer for the Ravens to win if that were to happen.
I don't know how the city of New Orleans is going to afford that repair bill if it happens.
It's like another Katrina all over again.
Are you upset that you know that going forward you'll have to deal with watching Ray Lewis on ESPN every Sunday?
I barely watch ESPN.
Okay. So you're fine.
He
already signed a thing.
That makes sense. I mean, he's an animated fella, he's got opinions.
Yep.
We didn't
everything I say, Adam's looking at me like it's vaguely racist today.
We didn't
when he was the one that was racist on the internet.
We didn't
yesterday.
Quite make it through this sequence quickly, did we?
No, we got a lot of shit to talk about. Our cars are covered with 3 inches of ice right now. Adam and I will be out there chiseling away.
I got to go to Target later, so let's go.
I call it Target, by the way. Topic number two.
It's a very Minnesota
God, I don't
thing.
Even know if I want to breach the topic here, but I think I have to.
Fuck no. It's not good.
It is not. Gun control, folks. Gun control is the hottest hot button issue
in America.
Do we need to get more guns in the hands of good guys to kill the bad guys, Adam? Do we need to make laws to keep assault rifles off of the streets? Are there any easy answers? Gun control, I'm looking at the Wonk blog over at Washington Post.
Ezra Klein, or is this by someone else?
I think it's Ezra.
This is Ezra.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's be honest. You guys are very well-versed in politics. You pay attention to this stuff.
Yes.
You do, compared to most people.
I actually am Ezra Klein. Most people don't know that.
Okay.
It's my pen name.
I would have picked something less Jewy.
I know.
But you went
it threw people off.
You went right in it, baby. It's like going to the eye of the hurricane, baby. So you can find a lot of statistics out there that will...
Bitches.
That will go for and against gun control. Is that a fair statement to make?
Yes. Also a fair statement. At gun shows this week, there have been 6 people shot accidentally.
Just this week. So what that says is that people who like guns aren't very good at using guns.
Right.
Okay.
So, or caring for them, protecting other people from not getting shot accidentally.
So let's talk in general terms, and if we need to jump into stats, we can do that. But where do you guys fall on the issue of gun control? What should we do as a country? I'll look at Jared first. He's got the hoodie. He knows his shit.
I'm used to being...
He's got a trench coat somewhere around
I'm
here.
I'm used to being targeted by scared white men. Yes, it's true.
Go ahead. And if you have any gun sound effects on your board,
I don't.
Feel free to...
I'm unprepared.
Any Yosemite Sams.
Lazy show.
Yosemite Sam. That would be good. So, Jared, do you feel like there needs to be a reform in our gun control laws? Or are the laws we have good enough? They just need to be reformed. They just need to be carried out, says the NRA.
I think that's part of the issue. There are an awful lot of laws on the books that aren't capable of being enforced because of the NRA's systematic lobbying and influence on Congress to basically strip the ATF of a lot of its power and size and scope and ability to ensure enforce the laws.
So. Jared is right.
Isn't the technical term cock-blocking? They're cock-blocking the
cock-blocking.
Laws.
Sure. They've written some of the laws, or at least approved the text of the laws that have been added. So this idea that we're not doing a good job of enforcing the laws is absolutely true, and the reason is because we don't have the resources to do so, or the ATF's been stripped of its power. I mean, we haven't had a director of the ATF in 6 years. It's ridiculous.
And why haven't we had a
director? Because Congress, the Senate, refuses to approve anyone. And I forget, there's like a rider, there's something in a law that kind of puts harsh restrictions on the whole process. And it's designed to keep the ATF basically neutered.
And without a director, there's no one to ask for more money. So there was, I think a lot of what Jared's saying is from a really good Daily Show episode from like last week where...
Still on fire that day.
Yeah, where
Basically, people were like, well, the ATF just needs to enforce their laws. We don't need new laws. And then you come to find out that the ATF, like, legally can't because of amendments put into former bills. That
it wasn't a bit of a sneaky.
Yeah.
It was underhanded.
It was like a writer on another bill.
Yeah.
That you didn't.
So, like, when you look at, like, the laws, like, they say that, you know, the ATF can only go and look at a gun shop once a year. They're not allowed to do anything more than that. But because they only have 3,000 employees, which are the same number that they had in 1974, whenever they started, like, they haven't grown at all because they haven't been allowed to.
U.S. population stayed about the same, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It really works out to, like, once every 17 years, you know, just by the number of people and versus the number
of gun
shops.
Too many
gun
shops, not enough agents.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Hit me.
People like to bring out the comparison of cars, either just cars in general or drunk driving or whatever, as a parallel to guns and people who use guns in their similar killing power. And
Jesse
how
Ventura.
They
did
like
that.
To say how we don't outlaw cars because
they
kill people.
Oh, he's going to Ventura. I like it.
But if you look at it, cars are way more regulated. I mean, car sales are all tracked. Everything's licensed. You know who owns a car. You know, there's serial numbers, just like there are for guns. But for whatever reason, we don't track every gun sale. So that's, I think, really where I'm looking at is you can have guns. People can buy guns. But let's make sure every gun sale is registered. Every sale is tracked. Let's track ammunition sales. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that you can't your right to bear arms is infringed if that fact that you own that is known by the government.
Yeah.
And sorry.
Like, anecdotally, I work with a bunch of gun nuts, mm-hmm. and anecdotally, every one of them that I've talked to is completely for that.
Yeah,
they're completely like, yeah, I don't care. Like, people know, you know, like if I, you know, like the government knows my income, the government knows all these other things about me. Like, there's no problem. The government can, you know what IP I'm using at home. Like, what do I care what if they know I have guns or
and
which guns?
I understand that some people like to read into the spirit of the amendment and how owning arms is your last defense against tyrannical government, and how if the government knows that you own these guns, that's just another form of tyranny or something like that. I don't know. It's all anti-government stuff, but sorry. There, you have to think of the public good here, and us being able to know who owns guns, how many guns, how much ammunition they've purchased, and being able to analyze that and data mine it, and be able to project, like, oh gosh, this person here has 30 guns, tons of ammunition, and look at what they've been doing socially. Maybe we want to knock on their door and see what's going on. I don't know. You got to do something.
Yeah, think of the children.
That's who exactly you should be thinking of. So I guess the question is, where do we draw the line in terms of what gun should be on the street, should be available to the typical American, and which should be outlawed? Is it handguns? Is it assault rifles? Is it shotguns? What do we do? What's fair?
Joe Biden in a Google Hangout.
America's happy warrior says what?
He did a Google Hangout the other day.
Okay.
And he said that a shotgun will protect you way better than an assault rifle.
Is that true?
I don't know, but this is what Joe Biden said.
I trust him.
So, sure. Then don't ban shotguns, I guess. I mean, I get the idea. I don't know the right answer, but I get the idea that high-capacity cartridges are, you know, silly
from a sporting and hunting and personal recreation standpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what do you need 30 round magazine
because when the
for.
Government comes for you, you need to defend yourself.
Well, so, but right. let me
like
ask,
they wouldn't just shoot you with a fucking drone from space.
Let me ask this question, and I've asked Jared this, and the jerk's never given me a good answer. So
wow.
So I will give it to Adam. I'll give him the ability to answer. What need do people? Why do people need to have assault rifles? Why do they need to have high capacity clips? You have gun nut people you work with.
Right.
What do they say? Because I've never heard a legitimate answer that is based in a reality that we know.
Well, what do you mean need? Like, what do people need to have, you know, four motorcycles for?
Sure,
like, people like having cool things.
But you have to. But I just.
I think there needs
to be an answer.
The need for assault rifles and high capacity magazines and all the stuff like that people have is, I think it's completely rooted in this idea that one day there is going to be a tyrannical government that's going to come after you, and you're going to have to hole up in your cabin in the woods and defend yourself and your family from the forces of evil. That's where it comes from. It's not realistic because, as we've already said, they'll shoot you with a drone or they'll drive a tank or the government's resources...
Or poison you or
melt
your brain with microwaves?
Yeah, wake up, sheeple.
This fallacy that you're going to be able to defend your freedom from the government should it choose to come after you is ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah,
grow up. Think about the actual world and understand that your 15-round magazine on your AK-47 are not going to do shit against a tank.
Or you might kill 15 guys, but then guess what?
They're going to get you.
They got something else that's going to rip you in half.
So stop kidding yourself. Anyway.
Jared goes on fire.
So, I mean, if we were talking about what should be outlawed, I mean, I think we're on the right track, obviously, with assault rifles and high-capacity magazines. These things were outlawed before.
Handguns, yes or no?
I think handguns are worse offenders than assault rifles. Yes, assault rifles are in the news lately because they've been used in several mass shootings, and they have the capacity for mass casualties. But if you look at the numbers... add them all up. Handguns are far worse at killing people.
Oh, first street crime and stuff.
And so for me personally, I think handguns should be outlawed.
A lot of the
that'll never happen. Sure. I have no illusions that that's going to happen. So I don't even bring it up, honestly, except in a friendly forum like the Scope.
You hear the argument that people need to have weapons to defend themselves against all the bad guys that are out there. Is that?
And that's usually couched in that, well, the bad guys are going to get them no matter what. So why make it harder for law-abiding citizens to get them? Well, guess what? The bad guys are often stealing them from the law-abiding citizens who got them legally.
Wouldn't it make sense that if you just had less access to guns, be it legal or, you know, legal guns out there, that eventually there just would be less ability to kill with those guns, with said guns?
Logic doesn't go into a lot of these arguments. So these are like weird emotional arguments for a lot of people.
It's true.
Adam, you've been unusually quiet.
I don't know. I mean, everything's kind of, you know, been said. Like, it seems ridiculous to me that, buying booze in a lot of states is harder to do than buying a gun. So I grew up in Virginia, and the only place to buy hard liquor is at the state-run ABC store. The Alcohol Bureau Commission stores. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you know, that's not the case for guns. You can have private sales. Those aren't tracked. You can have, the gun shows. Those aren't tracked.
We're not talking about pecs. We're not talking about biceps.
Right. So, I don't know. It's just frustrating, that a certain segment of the population is completely unable to... look for a better good, and this isn't just for guns.
That is the big issue, is it
sure.
not?
Yeah.
That's the issue with our country, is people are not concerned about...
Fuck you, got mine, and I don't want to pay another extra cent in taxes. I don't care, what good cause it's going to go towards. Doesn't matter.
I don't want to pay for other people's health care.
Right.
I don't want to do anything that I do not want to do.
Right.
Until
it affects
that
me.
Thing affects me, and then I'm like, hold and the phone.
I'm going to do my own thing on these public streets where I'm protected by public police, and my house doesn't burn down because firefighters are there to protect it. Oh, wait, what? Socialism, right. Sorry. Right. Anyway.
It's an odd juxtaposition.
Shane, what's your opinion on the whole thing? You've been asking us a lot of questions.
I ask a lot of questions. Well, I agree with you guys. I mean, it's frustrating to me. I mean, I grew up in a house where my dad was a hunter. He shot skeet, so he just didn't...
That's not a masturbation thing, is
skeet,
it?
Skeet, skeet, skeet.
Yeah, we just sat around and circle jerked.
Wow.
No, my dad shot for fun, and he shot to hunt, which still was for fun. But, I mean, there was animal meat involved in it. So I get the tradition.
Did he make you eat venison jerky? I am so tired of people at work giving me venison jerky.
We didn't eat venison jerky, but we would eat... My dad never hunted deer, so it was mostly pheasant, which is gross to me, and duck. But I mean, I get
the occasional human,
because you've never hunted until you've hunted man, says Jesse Ventura. I get to
you've never hunted since a hunted man.
It's sort of a
totally fell apart.
Charlton Heston meets, anyway. So, I mean, I get that there is a long time, tradition of hunting in rural and even in suburban communities where that is something you do. Families go out and they make a big deal of it. I know that people even do it because it is a part of of how they live in terms of just sustenance. It's I get it. But I don't think that there's any place for assault rifles in there. I'm kind of with Jared with the handguns, even though I'm under no illusion that they would ever be banned.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just a personal wish, and it'll never happen. So, yeah. Whatever.
I mean, I still feel like the one thing that we haven't talked about is that there's this subversive racism that ties into it, which I know that's crazy liberal talk, but... You know, I just think that it ties in. It ties into that.
You mean the fact that there's dozens of black and Hispanic people that are getting shot by guns every day, but it takes a white, like 20 white kids to bring this to a national discussion?
It doesn't hurt.
That's an issue.
It doesn't hurt. You know, it's bothersome to me. I think that you know, the plight of gun violence in inner cities versus the people Newtown have to deal with, or Columbine. It's a completely different thing, and like you said, it's ignored. And as Jared has said, a lot of those illegal guns came from legal sources. I don't know. It's a bothersome thing to me, and I always go back to people giving me good reasons why there should be clips that have 30 rounds in them, why you should have automatic rifles that can mow somebody in half in a blink of an eye, and trying to tie that into the Second Amendment.
Yeah, I mean, I think most reasonable people that like guns don't make arguments for actual automatic rifles. Like, these are all, you know, the Bushwick that was used.
Sure.
They're all semi-automatic. But, I mean, I don't know what the difference really between having to pull a trigger 27 times versus just holding it down for, 2 seconds and having it...
You know, tomato, tomato. It's pretty close, two sides of the... same coin. I don't know, however that phrase goes. So I don't know what the answer is, Jared. I just wish that people would have reasoned approaches to it, that have reasoned responses to it, and as Adam so eloquently pointed out, I wish people would see the cause of the greater good, because that's what our country is based on. It's based on individual liberties, but using those liberties in such a way that benefits everybody. We're not against each other. I mean, we are together in it. And if you don't behave in that way, all you're going to do is have this gridlock, and you're going to have this anger, and you're going to have this frustration, and nothing's going to get done. And nothing's going to change. Yep. So there you go.
Awesome.
Gun control. Suck it.
Solved.
Yeah. Do we,
we did it, guys.
No.
We solved a lot of stuff. So let's go on to something a little bit lighter.
It's going to be way worse.
Let's talk Star Wars, guys.
There we go.
So we've got two things on our plate when it comes to Star Wars. In the time that we were off, big rumor popped up that nerdy director Zack Snyder was up to no good in the Star Wars universe, that he was picked to direct a side Star Wars movie based on Akira Kurosawa's 54 classic Seven Samurai, making it...
Because that film's never been adapted before.
Yeah.
Like A New Hope is not already that movie.
That one's Forbidden Fortress or something like that, but...
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
At the end of the day...
The Seven Samurai has been redone several times in other formats.
Yeah.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
I guess it doesn't really matter what the story was. The nerd outcry on Zack Snyder was palatable. You could hear it. You could taste it.
Was it palatable or palpable?
Palpable? I don't know.
Palpatine.
Could you taste it?
So there we go. That's why Jared has fewer friends than me, right there.
I need my own little stinger that says, aside.
I like that.
Aside.
I don't know if that's grammar police or just straight up a-hole police.
That's not
pedantic.
No, they're just different words. It is pedantic, but they're just different words. That's all.
Well, thank you very much for that.
I'm just curious what you meant.
So the question is this. Is Zack Snyder really that bad of a choice?
It would have been fine.
I think the bigger question...
For a side story, let people do weird, cool things. Who cares?
Isn't
Adam has it exactly right.
Isn't the bigger...
That might be the only time I ever say that.
Isn't the bigger question, though, especially if you pull a director from...
I need to isolate that one, by the way.
Go ahead. Isolate. Write it down.
I don't have any paper. Go ahead.
Isn't the bigger issue that if you pull a director from, approximately our generation... Maybe a little older, maybe a little younger. Someone that grew up on Star Wars, that understands it, that probably hated the prequels and saw them for what they were.
A cash grab.
And the fact that you have Kathleen Kennedy, who is running the show at Lucasfilm, who is as good a shepherd as you can get for the future of Star Wars. And Disney, who's done a pretty good job of massaging properties and doing a doing.
You're basing this on like the Avengers.
Yeah, what they've done with Marvel. Yeah, I think what they've done with Marvel. Do you think that
Pixar has been able to be pretty independent?
Do you think that a really bad Star Wars movie is going to be made by any of these guys? Are people's undies in a bundle for no reason?
They're not
going to
be as bad as Phantom Menace, so yeah. It's like calm down.
Yeah, I just don't ever see a movie like that being made.
I expect nothing but good things now for Star Wars, honestly. Yeah.
Like it's frustrating because it's like what movie am I thinking? Well, whatever.
The Parent Trap.
Yeah, there we go. When The Parent Trap was re-released.
I was going to say movie 43.
You could tell. Yeah. No, it's like I said, it's a side thing. It's not like the core story. So like maybe they want to do like a weird anime style with, you know, some of these.
Sure.
Like, maybe they want to have like actual like Studio Ghibli do, you know, a series.
Sure.
Or like let them do cool stuff. It doesn't have to be, you know, core, you know, a core story.
Even if it was a core story, do you think that they're just going to let some Yahoo run off and destroy it based on the money that they spent to get it?
They did already. And it was, you know, like, it was called The Phantom Menace.
Wow, he's really...
Wow.
It's a bad story, guys.
I
agree.
I don't disagree with you. And, you know, Zack Snyder as a choice. Like, I was looking at his filmography.
I need to do this.
Anyway, his filmography... Not that bad. I'm sorry. Like, I think that he did. I was talking to Jared about
you haven't
this.
Seen Punch Run. Run
haven't seen. Haven't seen
is.
Sucker Punch.
Yeah,
I kind of
like Sucker
Punch. But I think that Watchmen. I think that Watchmen
exactly
was
right.
A valiant attempt at a very difficult thing to adapt.
He tried to make the comic book instead of make a movie based on a comic.
But
book.
But you have to give the guy props for that. I think that his remake of Dawn of the Dead was actually all right. I mean, for the time, it was all right.
That's fine.
300, never saw it. Jared?
I like 300.
I think
the real... Sorry, go ahead.
I didn't like it, but I kind of appreciated it from a, you know, the first time people were doing that, the weird, overly stylistic stuff. And again, based on a comic book, and he tried too hard to make it like the comic book. But, I mean, that's fine. Whatever.
The Man of Steel?
The real test will be Man of Steel.
Yeah.
We'll see that, and then we can decide is he really good at doing a super mainstream film based on an established
Who'd
property?
You rather see? Ratner? McG? Or Zack Snyder?
Zack Snyder.
Okay.
Sorry. Easy.
Let's rank them in order. Because I'm curious where what the Brett Ratner or McG is next.
I'd put probably McG at the bottom.
Okay, yeah, me too.
But Ratner has shown that he wields a sledgehammer when he needs to wield a scalpel when it came to that third X-Men movie.
True.
That was a bit of a mess, a cluster F.
But he's got the Rush Hour films too.
Yeah, and
I don't like the Rush Hour.
Didn't he do Bad Boys? No, that was
Bad Boys. Michael Bay.
Yeah, I'd love to see Michael Bay do a.
Oh, God.
Just for Earl's reaction.
Do you actually want to see nerds self-immolate by associating Star Wars and Michael Bay?
Is it immolate or emulate, Jared?
It's not emulate. No. I would love to see nerds and gun nuts both self-immolate, and then we could probably get back to normal discussions on things.
Is it Shane or Sean?
I've heard both.
All right.
I've heard both. Depends on what coast you're on, Jared.
Okay. I'm on the best coast.
East Coast, West Coast thing. Wow.
I'm on the North Coast.
So then that leaves the huge bit of news, which has been rumored for a week, but finally verified by Lucasfilm
yesterday. I still don't believe
yesterday.
It. I don't know what's
Abrams
going on here.
Heading the Star Wars cry into the future. He'll be directing Episode 7.
What a mistake.
I don't know if you could pick anybody better than that, Adam.
I think that anyone is better.
Wow. You've got to be kidding me!
He's already in charge of, effectively, the number two sci-fi franchise of, you know, the 20th century.
My prediction is he's done with that.
Yes, I know. But, like...
He said he's never had an emotional connection to Star Trek.
That's fine.
And Star Wars is his thing. It's his thing.
I think he's done. I don't know that he is necessarily relinquishing control of Star Trek, but I predict that Paramount.
He'll never direct another.
Done.
I think that he might stay on as a producer.
My prediction is Paramount will just kick Bad Robot to the curb and say, "All right, we're going to get someone else." Because I mean, it's stupid. You have so much success. Why would you?
Yeah.
But whatever.
Are you so what? Who else would you get? I mean, if you had your number one pick, Adam.
I don't have. Look, if he wasn't doing Star Trek already, I would be fine with.
Why does that make? Why does that make any difference?
Because there's only so much sci-fi out there, and it's important to understand like how sci-fi actually impacts kids and societies. Like, you know. People see those things and they dream of creating whatever. I mean, you know, HAL.
And now they're going to dream that J.J. Abrams is in control of everything.
They're going to J.J. Abrams equals sci-fi.
I just want two different visions coming from things.
Are you concerned that a Star Wars will now look too much?
I don't
like
think
the
look,
Star Trek. It'll have
people
too
made
much
all
a,
the yeah the lens flare.
Oh
jokes.
God, I was like, so sick of that.
That is.
I put up 84 of them.
Fast
by the way.
And Furious.
I don't think it's necessary to have one person at the center of, like, he's not just a director. That is not what J.J. Abrams does. J.J.
No.
Abrams plots a vision and a, you know, a whole
he writes,
series
he
of stories. Yeah.
I don't know how much of that he will actually do, though.
I have a quick aside on
Go
Abrams.
Ahead.
A lot of people made the lens flare joke. Other than Star Trek, is he known for lens flares on
little,
his other
little
projects?
Bit in Super 8. Here and there,
I guess,
but it wasn't.
I didn't think that that was his defining characteristic when it came
really
to
is.
Cinematography. I thought it was just a Star Trek thing.
People
so.
Just like to shitball on J.J. Abrams. I don't really understand it.
I don't.
I'm not
dislike,
saying you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in general, he gets
and
a bad
you,
rap.
You
for
said.
Some
you said. Yeah. Well, I don't know that he's actually going to be, you know, in charge of all those things. That's fine. But why pick J.J. Abrams then if you're not going to let him, you know?
Yeah, you're going to let
no,
him run the show.
Because I think that. There is a basic outline for where episodes 7, 8, and 9 are going, and
right.
that J.J. has to play within those boundaries. He also clearly has made it clear that he understands and loves Star Wars, the Star Wars aesthetic, and I feel that there's nobody out there better than him to carry that out. It's just not the same with what he did with Star Trek. Star Trek was sort of this whole different reimagining, I guess, really.
I mean, I think I've heard Star Trek fans argue that it's not Star Trek anymore.
That very well may be.
And I mean, I liked the reboot, and
sure,
I'm sure I'll like the next one. I like that movie. I like what he did with
mm-hmm.
it. But, I mean, to me, and I realize that any real Star Trek fans would probably want to strangle me for saying this, I always kind of felt like Star Trek is really generic. It's like generic sci-fi show. Whereas Star Wars already has a lot of built-in mythos to
sure.
it
that it borrowed from other mythos.
Right. So I it just seems weird to me that you're going to give one person, you know, control of, you know, again, those the two primary sci-fi franchises.
Or the two pillars, as I call
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, right there. Yeah, I just don't see it as a deal. I don't see it as a big deal.
I think it's a good pick.
I hope that there's
a great pick.
If there's a smoke monster, then I'll be excited.
Are you concerned then that
they'll be too similar in the sense that it's just like, oh, it's, you know, the same thing but with one different word for the title? I mean, that he can't differentiate the two?
I don't. That's not my concern.
Your concern is that he's normally comes to a project being kind of creating everything from the ground up. And rather with Star Wars, he has a whole established world.
Yeah, sure, that's part of it.
That he's not going to be able to change drastically.
Right, but I mean, I'm sure he'll be able to get his hand in there and adjust things. I just think that it's important to have different people's visions for ostensibly important franchises.
Will we see Sidney Bristow in the Star Wars universe? That's the big
question.
I'd take her.
I would take her.
I always think she's a little too mousy.
Yeah, so...
But she really fell off the map, didn't she?
She stayed home to have kids. That's what she wanted to do.
She got the Affleck money.
She does. Yeah, he's going to win the best picture.
The reason I really didn't think that story was true at first, well, I mean, beyond
the Abrams story?
Yeah, beyond my initial shock that they would really do this, is that they named Ben Affleck as like the runner-up in the story. And I was like, that just seems so out of left field.
Affleck would have been a weird choice. I mean, yeah. I mean, yes, he's proven he's a good director,
right?
But he's only done three films.
Yeah,
so it's like
dramas.
I think they're looking at him like they looked at what's his face for Iron Man.
Okay, sure.
I think that was sort of the idea. Like that guy took it and humanized it, and Favreau,
John Favreau,
like
yeah.
Favreau. So I mean, he wasn't known for that
true.
Type. Although
That's
he did,
true.
He did that Jumanji spinoff thing. But I think that was sort of the idea, that a good director can overcome
a good director
genre
is a good
issues.
Director, period. Yeah. Sure.
I think that whoever they eventually got just needed to understand what the Star Wars universe was, what made it successful, and then play within those rules. But at the same time, making sure that you bring a little bit of your own magic into it. That's my take on it.
A lot of people had thought like Spielberg would be a good fit.
I think he would have been a great fit.
I think it would have been a great fit, but he's a little older, and he might have been probably a little too beholden to what Lucas may have wanted. But let's face it, J.J. Abrams is the new Spielberg.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is. If you're going to draw a Hollywood parallel, I mean, he's the guy.
I mean,
at this
I like that all the people that they named are, you know, like 45 and younger. So it looked like that they were making an attempt to like go with someone in the generation that probably grew up with Star Wars.
And it, by the way, it doesn't mean that Abrams is directing all three.
Right.
I mean, they could easily go to Brad Bird for the second one or somebody else that, you know, has the chops to be able to do that.
I just think
they're going to handle it too carefully. I don't think it's going to be a disaster.
And I think Abrams is a smart choice for the first film because he's really good at establishing the world. I mean, I know the world's already established, but he's going to establish kind of what the aesthetic of this new trilogy is going to be and how the story is going to be told. And then so any directors that come on after that, if they happen, will already have kind of the ground rules set.
I just believe that he will, more than anyone, treat the original trilogy with care, and that any aesthetic that he sets up will follow that.
Yeah.
You know, meaning like, hey, every establishing shot isn't going to spin around it in a computer graphics. I mean, just things like that happened in the original trilogy or the new trilogy that he could avoid those traps. And I think that I just think that he's respectful enough that he wouldn't do that, whereas some of these other directors might say, you know, I'm going to make this totally mine, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then it ends up being, you know, some sort of crazy FX romp, which that's not really what the heart of this is.
What if it's so bad it becomes like that one James Bond movie, which is not a real James Bond movie?
Wow. I think that would be fascinating to see happen.
Right.
Just as an exercise of, you know, a Hollywood cautionary tale. But I don't know. I just think there's too much money. There's
Again,
too much pressure
I don't
riding
think
on this.
It's a bad choice on its own in a vacuum. I just feel like the circumstances.
If he wouldn't have been doing Star Trek, you would have been masturbating right here.
No, I'd still be a little hesitant just because he's so, you know, at the center of the stories that he crafts.
Sure.
But I mean, I think you can look at Mission Impossible 3 as, you know, an example of taking an existing story and then just, you know, putting his own stuff on
and
it.
I also think that Abrams addressed what you said. You know, his concern, like, you know, this is something that there's such a heavy burden of mythology and a heavy burden of history connected to this, that why would anyone ever want to take this on?
Why did he want to take it on?
Why did he? They just said that Kathy Kennedy went and pitched him again in January and convinced him. So she must have said something.
Yeah, probably. You can do whatever you want. You can put smoke monsters and people's eyes.
I don't believe that. I do not believe that for a millisecond.
All right.
Jared.
Okay. I've mentally moved on to the next topic, so...
The next topic is done. We're done.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, we're talking way too long.
Oh, God. No kidding.
So, let's wrap this up. Let's get into Under the Scope, take a quick breather, and talk some more right after this.
Hey, for you, The Scope listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I got a recommendation this time, guys.
Go ahead.
A book I've been reading is The Wool Omnibus Edition. It's a four or five mini novels, short stories, whatever, in the Wool series, written by Hugh Howie, self-published. It's now available in Audible, narrated by Minnie Goody. It's The Wool Universe is a kind of a post-apocalyptic, that's how you know it's live, story where humanity is basically living inside a what they call a silo. And everyone has specific jobs. It's very regimented. And there's a whole thing where the ultimate punishment is to be sentenced to the cleaning. And you get put into a protective suit to protect you against the elements outside, which are toxic. And you have to go outside and clean off all the sensors. And basically, you're doomed to die because your suit will fail. And that's it. But the sensors get cleaned and everyone can now enjoy a new pristine view of the world. But inevitably, somebody discovers that, you know, things are not as they seem. and things progress from there. So I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I'm nearing the end of it, and I'm very excited to see how it ends. Ridley Scott's studio has the film rights. Who knows if anything will ever happen with that.
J.J. Abrams will probably end up directing that one, too.
Sure. So I'm recommending that.
Abrams!
You can pick up that book or a book of your choice for free by trying Audible. I'm going to run out of sound. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/thescope and get your free audiobook. And now, here is this.
We now return to the scope. Just for the hell of it.
Under the scope. Adam's already checking that book out on the internet. He is fast.
Yeah.
Is that the whole thing, or are there going to be more after 1-5?
I think there are some other stories that are prequels.
Okay.
I think that kind of explain how things got the way they did.
It's only 464 pages. I know that we just did the audio.
Yeah, for the Kindle book, it's like $5 or something. Yeah. It's super cheap. Yeah. And
some of the side stories based on the samurai film.
Kurosawa?
Yes.
Guess what, guys?
What?
It's news. The news brought to us by Mandy's EpiPen.
Yep.
Mandy's
EpiPen.
When you're allergic to berries.
Or anything
else.
Don't
leave home without it.
Mandy's EpiPen.
First up, little politics. We didn't do enough of that in the B-block. Sarah Palin. You guys remember Sarah Palin?
The name sounds familiar. I'm not sure who you're talking about.
2016 vice presidential candidate again. She's coming back.
You think so?
Christy
Palin.
On Friday,
I think she's done.
Fox News announced that it had parted ways with Sarah Palin and will not renew her contract as a contributor.
Read between the lines. What does that mean?
The New York Times reports it was unclear whether the parting was Ms. Palin's choice. Bill Shine, an executive vice president with Fox, said in a statement, "We have thoroughly enjoyed our association with Governor Palin. We wish her the best in her future endeavors." As of last week, Ms. Palin remained in negotiations with Fox News about a new contract. Her original contract started in January 2010 and ended this month. Hmm. Twitter had some pretty good responses. Andrew Kaczynski from BuzzFeed announced that The Blaze, which is, what's his face? Glenn Beck's online site, and Al Jazeera are in a bidding war for Palin. It's a joke about current. Because
that would be hilarious if she was on Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera. How do you say that, Jared?
Al Jazeera.
And Eric Kleefield.
Not to be confused with his brother, Mark Jazeera.
Right.
He's a great cricket player.
Said, and I like this fact.
Oh, you want crickets, do you?
Sarah Palin actually lasted longer as a Fox News talking head than she did as governor of Alaska.
Wow.
She went 2 years exactly at Fox News, and she went 1 year, 8 months as the governor.
I can't wait for the her next book chronicling this tale of dismissal.
She'll never come out and say anything about this.
She certainly will never come out.
Oh, all right. Let's see. Glee. Did you guys hear all the Glee stuff in the news this week?
I broke the news to Jared.
Jared, are you a Jonathan Colton fan?
Yes. Okay. And Shane did not break the news to me. I knew all about it. Jonathan Colton broke the news to me.
That's right.
How close we are.
I broke it to
Jaco.
That's
how close we are.
To Joko, I broke it to him.
Well, if you guys,
just me and thousands of his closest fans.
if you didn't know, Jonathan Colton is a musician. All the media reports.
Songwriter.
Yeah. Paint him as an internet musician. I don't really know what that means.
He only does internet music.
That's a distribution model.
Most of his songs sound like the modem dial-up sound.
Crazy.
So it uses that.
Yeah.
Glee has been accused of stealing from Jonathan Colton. And when brought to their attention, lawyers from Glee and Fox said that he should just be happy with the exposure he was getting.
All that exposure where they didn't credit him,
right.
And no one knew who he was.
Exactly. So after airing its ripoff of Jonathan Colton's version of Baby Got Back on Friday night, Glee got moved to Friday nights. I didn't even know that.
I thought it was Wednesday.
Oh, weird. I wonder if
or was it Thursday? It was Thursday. It was the 24th.
Yeah, not on Friday nights.
Okay. On Thursday night.
Glee has finally responded to the singer-songwriter in a very non-Glee-friendly response. Reps for the show apparently told Colton they're within their legal rights to do this, which is true, and that the singer should just be happy with the exposure. Though, as Colton points out, they didn't credit him anywhere in the show or in the song, so it's secret exposure. Glee also didn't apologize or offer to credit or pay Colton, and basically reiterated that this was their general policy in regards to covers, something which the show has done quite a few of. Actually, albeit
the entire show is a cover.
Less fanfare.
Right. But they've actually stolen other people's rearrangements of covers in the past. So, This isn't the first time.
Right. None of them had been as big as John
Colton. None
of them
have been an internet singing super sensation.
Yeah. So what do you guys feel about that?
I mean, it's a shitty move. Them not to acknowledge it and just to take it because they think it doesn't, no one's going to notice is ridiculous. But
so they
the people who are noticing are a very, very small number of people. Mm-hmm. And most of Glee's audience has no idea what a Jonathan Colton is.
So they give with Sarah Palin and they take away with J. Cole.
Are you familiar with how Joko has, the colloquial Joko, that's how people know him as.
I don't even know.
Anyway.
I've seen the concert.
How he has responded. He has re-released his single on iTunes as the Baby Got Back in the style of Glee or whatever. And he has asked that people buy it, and the proceeds are all going to charity. And it is currently beating the pants off of the official Glee version in the iTunes music charts.
That's so good.
So he's getting his exposure in one of the best possible ways. He's being very classy about it. So
nice.
He's upset, but he understands that there's only so much he can do from a legal perspective.
He fights fire with love.
So... And some charities are getting help, so bravo to Mr. Colton.
Definitely. Most of the news this week was basically about J.J. Abrams, it turns out. There's
he's
a couple
everywhere.
Things.
Yeah, what's the stance on gun control?
I don't know if you guys have been following the Aaron Swartz saga. He is the...
I haven't really followed it.
Who's he?
Know. I mean, I know who he is, and I know what happened, but...
For us people out there that aren't paying attention, who is Aaron Swartz?
He was a hacker.
Is he the guy that...
killed himself.
Met an untimely...
Yes. He helped develop RSS. He helped develop RSS. Mm-hmm. He was only 21.
Mm-hmm.
He
did this stuff when he was like 14.
Right.
He's a wunderkind.
He helped start Reddit.
Did I say that right, Shane?
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Pretty close.
At the time of his death, he was facing 13 felony charges and up to 50 years in prison. Prosecutors had accused him of using MIT's network to download scholarly articles from an academic database called JSTOR.
Just for point of clarification, downloads that he legally paid for.
Yes.
So he wasn't like stealing their stuff, but what he planned to do with it was in a gray area.
Right.
Go ahead.
He says, and all evidence points to the fact that it was not going to be monitored. Like he was going to release the put them on a free site to be downloaded. And so he killed himself while, facing all of this. All of this kind of despite the fact that prosecutors knew of his history of depression and the fact that it seems like it was a overly aggressive.
They were going to make
system.
An example of him, essentially, is what the story was said.
So there's a few Congress people that are kind of looking into it now, kind of taking up the cause, which is always weird to me when people do, because it's like, I
hate it when Congress starts doing investigating things that it doesn't know anything about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact just that the guy's already dead.
And there's a bunch of old white guys having hearings about stuff, and they just completely misrepresent things or misunderstand. The thing is that, and this is where a lot of people are upset about it, is that chances are, in a normal case, he was probably not facing any jail time for what he was planning to do.
Right.
But as you said, Shane, they were planning to make an example of him, and so he was facing federal charges and federal prison time, and that potentially pushed him over the edge.
Yep.
So,
and he battled depression, as it was said.
Mm-hmm. It's important to point out, so Rolling Stone has a really good article in this month's issue about all of this, and it's on their website, so you can just read it there, too.
But, did Matt Taibbi get involved on that one?
No, but the article does reference Taibbi's article from last month, also in Rolling Stone, about how HSBC bankers skated on...
Those guys.
Basically laundering money for...
Everyone.
Yeah, everyone
evil.
Including terrorists and... drug organizations.
Yep.
And they were not even looked at for a second to face jail time because arresting them under the auspices of being employees of a bank would have left HSBC probably without their banking licenses, which would have caused the entire banking industry to fail yet again.
So yeah, we've got this issue where financial institutions can basically do whatever they want without any fear of real repercussions because they know that the governments of the world will never take serious action against them for fear of crippling our national or worldwide economy.
So they can't know.
It's ridiculous, but what do you do? How do you fix it, Shane? I'm looking at you.
Assassination.
Okay, that's fair. Of whom?
Everyone.
The offenders.
The offenders.
Let's see. Did you guys play Dead Space
One or two?
Nope.
Either one of you? All right.
No.
They're adding in microtransactions into Dead Space 3 to buy better weapons, and people are
kind of
getting upset about EA's new venture.
Are they giving the game away free?
No.
Okay. Because that's usually the model, is they'll give you the game free, and then they'll...
Nope, this is a $60
charge
game.
Charge you for add-ons.
And it's basically like... it's like freemium or
you know, except that you've paid $60 for the game.
Right. So
can you eventually earn those weapons in the game?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's just... I don't know. It's weird. I don't... It's like cheat codes. It's like you're paying for cheat codes.
Yeah. That's another model. Yeah.
Other
and
video
then unfortunately
game,
you're playing against people who have paid the money and you're like, oh, well, I'm fucked because I don't... And now I gotta buy the stuff too because I can't compete.
So Dead Space is kind of unique in that there is no multiplayer. There's co-op for the story, I think, in this new one, but that's it. Other video game news. THQ, makers of one of my favorite games of 2 years ago.
Saints Row 3.
Which wrestling game are you talking about?
Right, WWE. Every WWE game.
Raw, ladder match. Friday Night Lights. Whatever. Friday Night Live.
They have been
countdown.
Dissolved. THQ has.
They've been sold off to the highest bidder.
Yeah, have been sold off. And some of the studios weren't picked up by other bidders, and they're just gone now. That includes Vigil.
Ubisoft seemed to pick up the majority of...
Ubisoft bought THQ Montreal.
By Vigil, are you just mispronouncing video?
You're saying Vigil Games?
Vigil Games.
Okay.
Vigil made Darksiders and Darksiders 2, and no one bought them. So the biggest purchase went to Sega. They bought Relic Studios. They make the Brothers at Arms games.
Okay, sure. Yep.
Which is like a real-time strategy-ish, I think, type.
Never played them.
And ZeniMax tried to buy them. That one went for $26 million. Everything else is like kind of cheap, except for like Crytek. They bought Homefront for $500,000. Crytek was... We mentioned Far Cry earlier. Homefront was considered a huge bomb. There are basically like two big reasons why THQ didn't make it. They bet the whole store on Homefront last year. You might have seen like bus ads and stuff for it. And it didn't do well.
Big push.
And 3 years ago, they
How was that reviewed? Any idea?
Not poorly.
Okay.
Not very well. And
so what you're saying is that you can advertise all you want, but you're still going to make a good game?
Yes.
Okay. Got to make a good video game.
Or you have to pay off the reviewers to give you better scores.
Yep. Ah.
One or the other.
Well, I'll just put it on the record that the Scope will not be bought.
Okay. Yeah. I will put
I would
it on the record.
Bought,
yes, but I will.
You got to listen.
What?
No.
Oh.
But their biggest financial issue was 3 years ago they released UDraw, which was a Wii-based drawing game pad mixture. And there have been multiple reports about it, but they basically made millions of them, and they still have a warehouse with millions of
them. It wasn't just Wii-based, by the way. I think maybe the first year they did Wii, and then the next year they followed up the other ones, and it was a colossal failure.
Yeah. So, no more THQ. Do you guys know what THQ stands for? It is an American company, and there are three English words.
The Heliquotient.
Toy Headquarters.
Oh, okay.
THQ, a publisher since the NES era.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time.
Usually making shitty kid
Always
games.
Always making bad
DuckTales. They made that. That was a good kids
Duck
game
games.
For the NES.
Yeah, that was good.
DuckTales. Woo!
THQ and
Rescue Rangers,
LGN.
Did they make that?
They made, I think that might have been LGN.
Okay.
Finally, I just love saying Kim.com. So Kim.com released a new service website thing called Mega. And he says he has a million users after one day.
I doubt it.
All right. This is what Kim.com says.
I believe it. You just can't access the site. But
is it down?
I heard that early on it was the quality of service was very, very poor. So many people were trying to sign up.
I gotcha. I signed up. I don't know. Whatever.
What do you do with it?
You put files on to share. I mean, it's basically mega upload.
It's just
again.
Online storage. Can you actually share with people, or is it just okay?
Yep. Everything's encrypted.
Yeah. Okay.
And
sure.
You send out private links. So it's just mega upload again.
All right.
But he says it's safe this time. And finally,
nice.
Maybe the biggest news
you
story of the week.
Him.
Daft Punk has confirmed their fourth studio album coming this spring.
Daft Punk.
And they just signed with the new label.
It was Sony Columbia, yeah.
I like to say
That's breaking news, too.
I like to say Daft Punk like Brett said Top Gun on...
Like
on,
Mary? Daft like, Punk.
Daft Punk.
Daft
it's Top
Punk?
Gun.
Good
anyway,
stuff.
That's my story.
I love it. So let's wrap up Under the Scope with Coming Soon. losing steam. We still got an hour to go.
We still have 3.5 minutes of voicemails from Luke Ski to get to.
All right. Well, let's load those up.
January 29th, music. Lisa Loeb has a new album coming out. Do you guys remember the Lisa Loeb reality show?
Yeah.
Fuck, that was terrible. No. It was the most scripted.
The Loebathon.
I really only remember her first music video. And that's how I'd like to remember her.
And wasn't she in? Was she in like Singles?
She was in Singles.
Like that?
Yes. And that song was in Singles because she was dating what's his face at the time? Chompers from Something About Mary.
Matt Dillon?
Matt Dillon. She was dating Matt Dillon at the time.
Chompers.
Tegan and Sarah have a new album out also. I've heard
it's
it
very poppy.
Not the most Tegan and Sarah sounding album.
Yeah, I hear fans of Tegan and Sarah may not like it.
You heard that from you.
What? You said it.
I did.
What? Didn't you say that on Twitter?
No.
Are you?
Maybe that was six songs.
Yeah. Okay. That's who it was. Is that Al?
That's Al.
Okay.
That's his new.
It's part of his new Scope spinoff show that he's talking about.
Finally, spilled the beans. Now,
aren't you supposed to have like a popular lead in when you're going to do a spinoff?
That's a good point.
February 5th.
He's hitching his wagon up to a dead horse.
he's cracking the whip, but that horse is not going.
Just laying Bjork there, has a new album coming out. What's, let me hear your best Bjork impression, Shane.
You think I'm going to do that?
This is please. I hate to sing a song for you.
These are all really good.
Thank you.
I am wearing a dead swan.
Dark Star has an album. I don't know who that is.
I don't either. I just
and Josh Groban. Spinoff from Big Star.
Yes.
Okay.
From Black Star, actually.
Well, how does Goody Mob fit into this?
Jared's favorite singer of the 2000s.
What's that? Who?
Of the 20s, as Jared would say.
Who?
Josh Groban.
Really?
New album.
I can count on one hand how many non-Christmas Josh Groban songs I've heard.
I don't even know who that is. I thought he was an actor. Who am I thinking of?
He's done acting. He's done a lot of acting.
Movies, February 5th.
You're thinking of Josh Groden.
Yeah. I am thinking
Charles Groden.
Charles Groden. Yeah. That's Beethoven. The Beethoven.
I'm just making up names now.
Movies, February 5th. Bullet to the Head. That's, what's his face? Right?
Stallone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in a contest to win tickets.
Warm Bodies, which one of us has already seen.
Yep. Shane could have gone, but he wasn't feeling well.
I was really sick.
I got other... Yeah, whatever. Not important. Stop aside.
Safe Haven. Don't know what that is. Do you?
No.
Side Effects. Don't know what that is.
I got passes to that, too, but I didn't feel like going to St. Louis Park for it. Yeah. Same night as Warm Bodies.
Identity Thief.
Ugh, that looks
dumb.
That
looks so bad. What's wrong with Jason Bateman?
I don't know.
It's just Biden time, baby.
All right. January 29th on
DVD.
Did you
say Biden time? Woo! What's Joe got in store for us today,
America's
Jake?
Happy warrior, Jared.
Did you guys see that he tweeted a shout-out to Diamond Joe Biden, the Onions, you know, like parody version of him?
That's funny.
I love that.
Let's see. So January 29th on DVD.
Diamond Joe Biden's got a Trans Am.
Yeah, he does. He loves it. Loves working on it without a shirt
on. Talk about Biden versus Clinton in 4 years. Where that one's going to go?
I don't think Biden's a serious contender, honestly. But go ahead.
He's got that smile, though. The Awakening. This is probably two different things. The Awakening. What's that? That a movie? A TV show?
Is that
Batman,
a sequel to Awakening?
The Dark Knight Returns 2. That's not. What?
A cartoon.
Oh, okay. The Completely Mental Misadventures of Ed Grimley, the complete series.
That was a cartoon that I watched in the 80s.
Oh.
Starring Martin Short.
Did he actually do the voice?
It was
interesting.
Jonathan Winters was on it. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
February 5th.
Funny.
Cloud Atlas.
I love that movie.
So maybe I'll check it out. Flight.
I liked it a lot.
People were very upset, and there are differing opinions on Flight. Here Comes the Boom.
Kevin James, his opus.
Or as I called him yesterday in my Twitter, the King of Queens. Because I didn't even forgot his name. I'm like, then the King of Queens showed up. Anyway.
Did you mean it was on TV or a guy that reminded you of Kevin James?
No,
showed
I
up
was
in
watching,
line?
Whatever, I was at the Xfinity store and I'm watching, I don't know what the movie is, but it was on their big screen TV with that stupid 120 hertz smoothing feature on, which
Chuck
makes
and
it
Larry
look like
get
garbage.
Married.
No, it wasn't a comedy, but it had Channing Tatum in a tank top with fake tattoos and Vince Vaughn kept coming to his door and talking to him for whatever reason. And at some point, Kevin James showed up, but I forgot his name. So,
weird.
I just wrote the King of Queens.
Animaniacs Season 4. And then, finally, video games.
So, by the way, nothing's better than watching Channing Tatum and Vince Vaughn talk to each other without the sound, because that's just compelling film right there.
Video games, not much coming out right now, beginning of the year. Heavy Fire, Shattered Spear, no idea.
You can still buy Minecraft, by the way.
February 3rd, Dead Space 3.
For the 360 and
the
PS3.
Aforementioned.
And
will there
PC,
be microtransactions?
Well. They're with microtransactions.
Because everyone's been clamoring for that.
Shane, did you 100% Far Cry 3?
No.
Should I not try? Is that just going to bog me down?
I think you could get pretty close, okay. But it will slow you down. Because you got to find a bunch of treasures and stuff like that. And to get all the achievements on it, you have to play the co-op stuff.
You want to play co-op?
We probably could.
Okay.
Yeah, but it'll be difficult, but I think we could. The co-op plays a lot like Left 4 Dead.
Okay.
So you let me know if you want to, and then I will reinstall it onto my Xbox 360.
All right. The Xbox 720 might be out by the time we're ready to do that.
Nice.
Anyway, let's wrap this up. Under the scope. We call this part of the show the home stretch.
I think we're going to keep it under 2 hours.
All right, good.
So we got some comments. Got a couple of voicemails, but first I'm going to get to this epic email from listener Cindy Lou.
I was really impressed by this.
Cindy Lou, who?
A lot of this is from late last year because we haven't done a show. But anyway, she writes in to say, challenge accepted! So the question recently came up, asking if the full spectrum of scope score scale had been used. And since I had 4 hours to kill on a trip to Canada, I have made up a spreadsheet of all the scope scores given for each category of media. So the quick answer to the question is yes! Every score has been given when including all the category scores combined. Although no one category has all the scores. We've got a breakdown of all the scores and how many there have. Okay, there has been 1-0, which we all know is girlfriends.
Yep, yeah.
Racist.
3 1-quarter, 1 1-half, 1 3-quarters, 5-1, 5 1-and-1-quarter, 15 1-and-a-half, a very popular score from us, 11 1-and-3-quarters, 18 twos, also very popular, 18 2-and-a-quarter, 18 2-and-a-half, 26 2-and-3-quarters.
Uh-oh.
So we tend to land right in the middle to upper middle area a lot.
Because we tend to see things that we would probably like overall, a lot of the times.
Right. 19 threes, 16 3-and-1-quarters, 21 3-and-a-halves, 5 3-and-3-quarters, and 2 4-stars. So really, to get those 2 top scores, you got to work
which
really,
are our
really,
two
really
top?
Hard.
What's
so we got? Let's see. We're gonna go on here.
Gaga, gaga, gaga. Was that? Did we give that Spoon album?
I don't know.
Or was that 3 3/4?
Ah, here we go. Contrary to popular belief, the first perfect 4-star scope score was given to the city of Seattle by Adam in episode 75.
That is such horseshit.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm just realizing now categories. That I thought she listened to all of them, but I'm realizing she just went to the website.
Oh,
because
sure.
I just put that together. I'm slow.
So, perks of being a wallflower and the city of Seattle in rarefied air right there.
They're both on top of the space needle.
Mand and I rewatched Perks the other night. Oh, it still fucks me up.
Out on DVD in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's how we watched it.
Did you buy it on DVD?
Sure.
They got director's commentary and cast commentary.
I will be listening to that.
So those are the results of her checking out all of her scores.
That
and tabulating
is awesome.
Thank you.
That's worthy of a round of applause from the crowd. Where is it?
$1 million.
Hold for it.
Lazy man. There we go.
I don't know about you guys.
I put that into my statistics on my spreadsheet.
Since she included the spreadsheet for us, I made a bar chart to view a graphical distribution of
it. Yeah, I like
it. I just took a statistics class. We have a skewed left curve.
Okay.
It is not a bell curve. Because they're, everything in the high twos and threes are, much higher than at the other end.
Interesting. Okay. Well, there you go.
That's great.
So congratulations, Cindy. That's excellent work. I would like to see the rest of our audience do an equally
anything.
Good job.
I would say our audience could actually put on an episode of The Scope, and then we could just play it as our own.
Fair enough.
That I would like.
We're going to close with a couple of voicemails from Luke. He's called in twice over the interim, and this first one is dealing with our holiday show and The Hobbit. Here we go.
Hey, Scoper, this is Luke Ski. Just wanted to call and say I really enjoyed your holiday quiz there. Please do more quizzes like that in the future, although I agree that you should get rid of the penalty rule there because it just keeps people from guessing, which makes it, it's better to not have it. The Hobbit.
Agreed.
The review you guys did, I felt pretty much
I guess
exactly
I pauses
the same
both.
You guys felt about the high frame rate. you know, that it felt like video game cutscenes, that people seemed like they were, you know, moving too fast. But, you know, again, as one of you guys said, that, you know, eventually I'll probably get used to it in the future of cinema, but it was jarring. My main thing about The Hobbit that you guys didn't bring up is, overall, I did like it, but of all of the dwarves, who are all mainly, you know, short and pretty, you know, either muscular or fat, and have, you know, these big noses, which are done with prosthetics and stuff, one of the dwarves doesn't seem to have any, you know, bulk or muscle or fat on him, and also has no prosthetic on his face. He's just a guy.
He's just handsome. He's handsome dwarf.
And yet he's a dwarf. So I'm just wondering, did they do that so that there could be, like, one sexy dwarf?
Yes.
Try to pull in all the, like, you know, teenage girl Twilight readers and stuff, you know, to be like, oh, here's the sexy dwarf you can all be attracted to and, you know, be on Team Dwarf. Or whatever. So it was just weird.
It's Team Dwarf, by the way.
Non-dwarf looking dwarf.
It's almost done.
And I'm kind of wondering what you guys thought about all that.
You pause it for a second, Jared.
It's 4 seconds.
Is Luke asking us to get that dwarf's number for him? Is that what he's trying to get us to do?
I thought we should talk about the fact that at least two of the dwarfs have no prowess whatsoever.
He's talking
in
specifically
combat.
About Keeley, but also his brother Feely was I think prosthetic free.
They're just,
I don't think it was an overt choice to try to get a young teen audience in there.
Maybe they just wanted him to look normal, more relatable. I don't know.
I think they probably just ran out of ways to differentiate the dwarfs and said, ah, fuck it, you two are going to look normal.
Do you think they're like the ugly ducklings of the dwarf world?
Probably.
Look at their noses, they're too small. Like that Saturday Night Live Twilight Zone sketch where Pamela Anderson wakes up and
she's the ugly one. Yeah. I'm the ugly one?
Yeah. I mean, let's be fair, Thorin Oakenshield, he looked pretty hot too.
Get a room.
What next? Right. One more from Luke. He's talking about Les Miserables.
Uh-oh, blah. This is a battle.
Hey, this is Luke Ski calling to comment on your review of Les Miserables. there's something you didn't mention, and so maybe you didn't know, so I wanted to at least
know
about it. The way this particular musical film was made, unlike other musicals where they record everything in advance in a studio, and then when they film it, they're just lip-syncing to the soundtrack, all of the singing throughout the entire movie in Les Miserables was done live on the set. So Hugh Jackman, Anne Hathaway, everybody... That was them actually singing it live there as they were filming everything.
Yeah, Beyonce.
And I know you guys, you said you weren't the target audience for this type of thing, but to me, that was incredibly fucking impressive.
Oh, he swore.
Did that whole movie, you know.
Isolate.
With all the principal things being done live there on the set. So, I think it deserves way more than one star just, you know, for that alone.
We don't grade on a technical curve.
I had a little bit more familiarity with this material because my mom was a huge fanatic of it when it first hit the States back when I was in, I must have been junior high or high school.
Mommy issues.
In the U.S. I did think it was weird that Sacha Baron Cohen did the French accent. I wish he would have been more, done the whole British thing since everyone else had a British accent.
I think they should also have been French.
I also thought it was weird that the one little boy was being so cockney like Oliver Twist. You know, it's like,
oy!
That seems out of place to me.
Yeah, some fish and chips.
Wanted to call, leave a comment. Just kind of curious, are there any musicals that you guys do like? Love to hear what you think on that. Bye.
So the question posed, first of all, do you agree that we should have raised it higher because of the technical challenge of singing live on set, which I was definitely aware that that was the thing.
No!
We read Entertainment Weekly.
I gotta tell you guys.
No!
This movie... I want to go see it because Mandy and I are probably going to fight. Mandy loved this movie. My mom.
That's awesome.
Loved this movie.
That's like an experiment.
Yeah.
I love it. You should go see it. Just for that reason alone.
Oh my God. Torture.
They were just like crying nonstop. Okay, so I like this question.
Do they clap after every song like some of those yahoos in the theater?
Here's the thing. Singing live on the set, while a great technical achievement and to be applauded, is no more worthy of a higher score than using a different type of film, picking the right lens, lighting a scene properly. It's just all part of the recipe of the film. But if that film is still not entertaining to watch, you still get one star. That's my opinion. Shane.
I agree with you 100%.
All right.
Hugh Jackman sang weird. Russell Crowe sang weird. Maybe they needed to sing in the studio because it sounded weird to me.
Fair enough. And to answer his question, are there any musicals that you do like?
Yes.
Name them.
Moulin Rouge.
I like Moulin Rouge.
I'm gonna qualify this non-Disney animated film musicals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like Romeo and Juliet. Same guy, same director. Did both of those, right?
Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah, and what's it called? It's not going to be
it's not a musical. Romeo and Juliet's not a musical.
Isn't there a lot of singing in that?
No.
Oh, is it just Moulin
Rouge?
You're
thinking, oh, Moulin Rouge, you're thinking of. Romeo and Juliet is.
They just use the real,
okay,
the real right. language,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then it's a contemporary setting. I will go on record and say there are some film musicals that I have enjoyed. You've got Little Shop of Horrors, the 80s version with Rick Moranis,
sure.
Steve Martin. I enjoyed that one quite a bit. South Park the Musical. I enjoyed that.
That's a good one.
Let's see. What else? Theatrically, I think really the only musical I've seen is Mamma Mia. I enjoyed it. But I also like the songs of ABBA, so that probably had a big effect on me.
What about Wizard of Oz?
I guess. I don't love Wizard of Oz.
I liked My Fair Lady, if you want to know the truth.
Okay.
Thank you. I did want to know the truth. Thank you for being honest.
But, like, Chicago? No. I hated it.
The thing is,
anything new like that, it just seems corny to me.
Anything that's overly affected in the theatrical sense,
yeah.
and I'm not going to explain that because you know what it is.
When ladies talk like this.
Gay is what he's saying.
No, I just...
The gays.
If you're going to sing, talk all of your dialogue, you're immediately on my shit list. Sorry.
If you're going to sing, talk
I don't
all
care.
Of your dialogue.
I don't really care if you're intended to be more like an opera than a musical, traditional musical. That's
it doesn't matter.
If it wins some like X number of awards, we should do a musical episode of this show where we have to sing talk the entire show.
How many awards does Les Mis have to win for us to do that?
Yeah, let's come up with a number.
All of them. All the ones that it's
nominated
for. How many
are they nominated for?
I don't know, but every one of them it has to win.
At least one segment.
I say if it wins four awards, we'll do a segment.
We'll do a Sing Talk segment?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair. Four awards. You heard it here.
Not going to win four awards.
I'm going to just do a direct line to John Norton. I'm not sure if you listen to our show still.
Who?
But John Norton.
Nort, you mean.
Nort.
Double Nort.
Right. People know him as Nort in our universe, but... John Norton, I did reply to your big question post on our Scope group. I don't know if you saw it.
There's way too many responses, though.
What?
There was so much going on our Scope group that he probably missed it.
Well, it was several days after the fact, because I sort of needed to kind of come up with an answer for his question. So, and I never heard back on that, so I don't know if you ever saw it. John Norton, if you're at all interested in seeing my response and maybe asking your follow-ups that you had teased, go right ahead. We're waiting.
And to follow up on Jared's follow-up, I didn't publish a follow-up because I agreed in almost every part of his follow-up. So why follow up?
Right. That's all.
I unfollowed.
Adam got out of the group.
Yeah. Right. Well, if you got some follow-up for us, you can email us at comments@thescopeshow.com. Call our voicemail line multiple times if you want.
Look, I'm Peyton Manning.
Why do we have the video going on this episode?
Oh, soon. I got to get that set up. 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. You can like our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter. We are The Scope Show. We also have a Tumblr now.
Woo!
Publishing notable news of the day at thescopeshow.tumblr.com.
And you can polish rocks in it.
You can. Yeah. So I've got a plug.
Do you?
I do. My band, Possible Oscar, will be... what have you done?
Keep going.
Adam's breaking his pop filter.
Keep going.
We are performing live at MarsCon 2013. March 1st is our showtime. We're kicking off the music track in the evening, 9 p.m. So,
9?
Stop on by.
I'm in bed by 9 o'clock.
I don't care. Come on by. It's going to be a good show. We've got a whole new plan for this year's show. It's going to be exciting and entertaining.
Does it involve sexy suspenders of any sort?
No sexy suspenders, but let's just say it's we're going above and beyond the call of our normal duty in that we're not just standing up there playing songs and improvising stupid jokes in between. There's a bigger component of the show this time, so
okay.
Check it out.
It's exciting.
We got 2 minutes left on the music bed. Let's wrap it up.
All right. So it's been a long show, but a great show. We're back. 2013 is in front of us, and we're going to take you there one show at a time. So, for Jared and Adam, I am Shane.
I'm Jared.
Bye.
There we go. See you next time, guys. Scoperific.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying hasta la vista. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.
audibletrial.com/thescope audibletrial.com/thescope audibletrial.com/thescope